Hello, and welcome to episode 117 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, the creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and currently I'm hopped up on Beechams. And joining me, as always, are the creator of the epic superhero webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
Many call him the littlest hobo, but we call him Tony Esmond.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm a bit tired.
You're tired. I'm on drugs. Dan, how are you?
I'm fine.
Oh, yes.
Super. It's all right for him, isn't it?
So I had the worst journey. I told you, didn't I? I told you about my journey, did I? I got the train at 7:45 in Leeds, and I got home at 3:45 in the morning.
Fucking hell.
Fucking worst journey of my life.
Well, you will go to these comic events, Tony.
I know.
What was the main hold-up with this train problem?
So, I know. Drunks on the line or something? I don't know. There was a lot of drunk people on my train. Two people had a fight in front of me. It's sort of two posh blokes. One punched one and one then had a go at him, like verbally was it, like, punching him.
Was it Queensbury rules?
Yeah. He hit him with the bottom of his fist. You know, like if you banged your fist on the table.
Yeah.
He sort of hit him in the eye like that. And I thought,
sort of hammer blow.
The shittest punch I've ever seen.
Yeah. Hammer blow. Yeah. Is that what you call it, Dan?
That's what you call it when you hit someone under with the base of the fist, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't know.
Dan Butcher's a wrong'un. He loves violence.
Is it a donkey punch? Is that what it's called?
No, that's something else entirely. thankfully, we won't be getting any of them in this show. But we are going to be talking about some comic events in a bit. And I've been at home all weekend, I seemingly are the only person in the independent and comic scene who hasn't been out and about and living the life this weekend. So maybe I'm a little bit jealous. Maybe I'm a bit bitter. I don't know.
There was a small crowd not going to Thought Bubble. It seemed like everyone was there.
Yeah. But even though you didn't go, Dan, you still went somewhere else. And we'll get to that in a little bit. I cannot wait.
Can't wait to hear about that. I've seen possibly the most sexiest picture I've ever seen in my life that you sent me earlier.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Are we allowed to put that on the Facebook page?
Yeah, we're still on tomorrow.
Splendid. So when this as you're listening now, probably in about an hour or two, there's going to be a picture of Dan Butcher on the
on the throne.
It's not as bad as you think it is, folks. Trust us.
It's worse.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
But one place that is the opposite of bad is our sponsors. Which is Comic House, good old Comic House, who I hope had a crack.
Did you say the opposite of bad?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like...
That makes it good.
Well, it's good, isn't it? Yes, the guys at Comic House help sponsor this show and make sure it's all free for you lovely people. Because we're all about the freebies, aren't we? Well, I am, because I'm a pie kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think other words are available.
Yeah.
True. But no, comichouse.com is a place where small press creators can put their books online, and it's just available to the masses. There's a great selection on there. There's some books that we've talked about in the past are on there at the moment, featured Impossible, which is from Marcosia, isn't it? Impossible.
Yeah.
Besides. Brain Shoodles by Emily Owen. She's going to kill me for getting that wrong. And the Comic House Anthology, which is featuring some fantastic creative teams at the moment, and that's one that they put out. I think it's bi-monthly now. Bi-monthly, which is quality.
Were they testing the app at the Thought Bubble?
Well, I went to the table to find him, Mr. Gene Paul, and he was. If he was, I suspect he may have been in the bar boozing it. Which, if he was, I admire him even more. But I did sort of hang about, and I got a badge. I got a badge of his table, but he wasn't there.
Oh, so, look at you!
I didn't find him.
Did you get us a badge?
Yeah.
Are you lying?
No, I didn't know.
No.
Are you lying?
But one thing it isn't a lie is that you will find nothing but quality books on comichouse.com. So if you're a fan of indie books, check it out. If you're a creator, then please sign up, put your books online, and start selling to the masses, because proceeds go 50-50. You know, it does pretty well, and they've got an app which they've started testing, which could be a possible game changer. So, you heard that right. I said game changer. Why is that funny?
You've gone full Partridge again.
I'm on Beechams. it's messing with me.
You can always stick a comic on that, and you get another revenue stream.
Yeah, exactly.
so many revenue streams, it'd be a revenue river. That's a partridge.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You're writing this down, Vince.
It's gold. No. It took Dan so long to get that joke out. I thought,
yeah,
it started off being serious. I actually believed you, Dan. I'm not going to believe you.
Yeah,
again,
I did. I thought you were just taking over and
yeah,
doing the.
Yeah, I thought Dan is saving this sponsor.
This always goes to shit, this sponsorship. I think that's why he likes us doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is sticking people's memories. If you do, you know that song, WeBuyAnyCar.com. Everyone remembers that, don't they? Because it's so shit. It's probably the reason
other
people remember this.
Are available.
Yeah.
But I've said, like, if you kind of got your comic ready for Comixology, it's literally uploading it to Comic House and copy pasting the text in. It's not an issue at all. You might as well do it.
Yeah. Do it.
Totally. Doing it.
Yeah. So check out comichouse.com and, please do, because we love them and you will too. So there you go.
Yeah. Can't wait to get my hands on the app.
Oh. I don't know why I made that noise. It's going to be a long night. And it's been a bit of a long weekend from my boys. Does. My boys have been out in the wild.
Do you mean your balls?
Been out in our garden again.
Yeah.
Down the all over.
Yeah. Oh, natural. No, I kept Mulligan and O'Hare in the house. So,
do you draw pictures on them, like little faces on each one? That's what I do that.
Yeah.
Russell Brand does that, doesn't he? Apparently, he has a Frenchman on one side. Yeah, a little beret.
Yeah.
I quite like that idea.
Always looks sad. Mm. But you two lovely people have been out and about and doing some comic events. Now, there's the big one, Thought Bubble, that was this weekend. And
whatevs. We want to hear about the big.
Yeah, Tony's going to talk about Thought Bubble in a bit, but I'm shifting the attention to Dan Butcher because, Dan, where did you go?
I ventured down to Tonbridge and they had a Comic Con, which I saw. I think someone posted up the price list for.
That was me.
For signatures.
And with a picture of my shoe.
Yeah, you could basically your shoes cost as much as some people were charging for autographs. And it's not a bad little venue. Like when I got there, I expected it the hall to be absolutely just like dead. It was relatively busy. It was kind of like in a sports hall with a leisure centre, and they had like the badminton nets or the fucking game nets around, so you couldn't sneak in. So that wasn't an option. But getting in there, essentially, it's the same old thing that you see a lot of these things. There's loads of stalls selling bloody Funko Pops and wallets and key rings and everything. I mean, the comics. I was surprised, actually. There were two tables doing small press comics. There were a couple of titles I'd never heard of before, and I've grabbed their cards, so I'll check them out.
Vic Idstar there. She was there, wasn't she?
I'm not too sure. Maybe I might have missed her. Was.
Yeah.
I have to check them out, because I thought, wow, there's actually small press here. But there's only like a couple of boxes of comics, and they were kind of like slung under a table, which you could kind of look through. But they were just like stuff you'd pick up off of the newsagent shelf like 5-10 years ago.
Okay.
I was like a bit reticent to kind of go pouring through them. And they had a few props from TV things there, like the Walking Dead hospital doors, which looked like they were just kind of been flat packed up in 15 minutes. You know what I mean? Like bang these around till the event, and they had the Game of Thrones thrown there that seems to be making the tours of the cons. And
so when there's the Walking Dead doors, what?
Yeah.
People get their photos taken with like a pair of doors?
Or it's kind of like the section of the hallway. Right. It's like a kind of box, and you step inside it, and it's got the doors there. And
oh, I see.
Have your photo taken in front of the doors. To be fair, like once you got the admission fee, you could kind of fuck around and do shit like that. And there was just tons and tons of cosplayers kind of queuing up, waiting to get in there and have their photo taken. There was a chap dressed very much, he looked like a spit of fucking Johnny Depp doing Captain Jack Sparrow.
Oh, not a Captain Jack Sparrow.
Not
they are the top of the tree for annoyingness in my mind.
Like, you are kind of like, if you want to cosplay, fine, but don't get in character. It just cringes the fuck out of me. I just, oh, Jesus.
But at the same time, like, some kids might like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of one of those things that some people are going to absolutely love it, and some people like me are just going to be fucking cringing. Yeah. Just praying that you don't come over to me and start interacting, because I can't be dealing with this.
The worst thing is when you're in a queue and you know they're coming down the queue talking to everyone, and you're thinking, no, please. That's why headphones are really good, I find, to put them in. You can pretend you can't hear them. Yeah. Yeah.
You do the old smile and say fuck off between gritted teeth. But kind of like, fair play to the cosplayers, but like, I really still don't get it. I think I'm kind of in the middle between you guys. That Tony's got no love for the cosplayers.
None.
Vince, you're okay with cosplayers.
Oh, I love everyone, you know that.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, oh God, I don't understand this and don't really get it. I can appreciate the costumes and stuff they bang together, but they kind of also had the, what's that fucking game that Bruce Forsyth used to play with the cards? Was it him? You know, where he had the card.
The high and low thing.
Yeah, top, middle, or bottom. They were doing like a game like that with a load of people. I didn't really understand. Hosted by a dude dressed as Captain America.
What?
Which I was like, oh, fair enough.
This
okay.
sounds so bad.
Yeah, I was kind of like, oh, this is weird.
And, am I having a fever dream? What?
No, yeah.
So
like
Bruce Forsyth as Captain America.
Oh, no. There was a dude dressed like Captain America doing it, but I didn't really understand what the whole game was about. But I was like, okay, fair enough. And there are a couple of guys running a VR game, which fucking was making money hand over fist.
Right.
Unlike the celebrities there. There's a whole line of the celebrity signing tables.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the dude who plays... called Richard Oldfield, and he plays his name's on the banner, otherwise I never would have known. It's called Hobie, which is Rogue 4 in Empire Strikes Back, and his line is two fighters against a Star Destroyer, you know, when they're trying to escape off of Hoth. And I kept looking over at him, and there was no one there at his table. No one came up to him, and he was charging 20 quid for a fucking signing. It's like, mate, the film you fucking were in was like nearly 35, 40 years old. I think the fucking gravy train has gone bust, mate. Like, just leave it. It was honestly a really sad... It was, like, deeply saddening looking at him.
Here's something for you. Do you think with, like, the new films and all of that new Star Wars stuff coming along, do you think that has impacted those old sort of celebrities in parentheses? Because not many people want to see them anymore. They want to see the newer ones.
Yeah, I think it counts for the new Doctor Who as well. I think people want to see the characters from the new Doctor Who, don't they? Yeah. Not the old, you know.
I think there's like the people that Colin Baker was there as well.
Oh, good.
Surprise, surprise. But like there was like the people going over to see him were of a certain age group.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he was kind of being really jovial and kind of walking around and talking to people.
Right.
Whereas like, a lot of them were just fucking sitting there at a table.
Did you get off with Hannah Spearitt at all? Or?
She was sitting there, her agent. Again, like they didn't have, there was no one going up to the signing tables. I feel like that's kind of like the last hurrah for a lot of these people, just trying to get the last few quid out of.
What was their agent saying to her? Don't stop moving? Or
yeah. Can you feel the music? No. Yeah. You should have taken your S Club album up, Dan, to get signed.
I don't have an S Club album, Vince.
No. I'm going
to pull the rug out from under that joke immediately. No, but it's just a bit of a sorry sight, really, to see all the celebrities kind of going like there. It just makes me feel a bit bad.
There's a bit of the begging tin about that in there. Somewhere.
Yeah, I just can't really be doing that. But
when they go to these sort of events. Do the actual events like put them up, you know, do hotels and stuff? And
I think sometimes they do,
I imagine some of them would probably be local, depends. The Colin Baker thing, maybe they put him up, but yeah, the lady Virginia someone,
Virginia Hay, the one from Farscape, whatever it is,
Mad Max 2,
she does every single one.
It was like, oh, fucking hell. I'm putting a real downer on this, but it wasn't too bad. It was like a kind of a bit of a community spirit going on. It was quite like jovial, and people were being really nice to each other.
Yeah.
And it gave people the ability to turn up and appear in their costumes and what have you. So I can't really.
Well,
it wasn't,
I mean, from the photo we saw, Dan, you looked like you were having a hell of a time.
I had a ball. they did have a Wii set up there, and they were like four controllers playing Super Smash Bros. Sorry, Tony, I'm going to alienate you.
Yeah, okay, yeah, just so you know, Tony, that is a video game system. It isn't just like a bucket of Wii.
I've played Wii. before. I played the tennis on it.
Ah, okay. Oh,
well, yeah, see? Yeah.
So there was four of them playing, including my son, and it ended up two of them playing against my son up against this other kid, and it was coming to the point where my son was beating the other kid, and he tried to pause it to turn it off, and I was like, "Don't turn it off! Like, finish the game. If you're going to get beaten,
did you do, Dan? Did you kill him?
Nothing. I just said, don't turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off, or I'll kill you.
You switch that off. I'll be switching off the life support later on today.
But I think
you press the off button, I'll be banging you out.
Don't ever say that term again, don't.
What, banging you out? Not like that.
But you know, I mean, we can have our opinions about these sort of events, you know, and people will laugh about them and stuff. But I guess the most important thing is, what did your son think of the day, Dan?
He enjoyed it. I mean, kind of, he wanted to spend money on bloody toys and stuff there, which is essentially what 90% of the stuff they were flogging there was. There's like a table of Funko Pops that is about 10 deep, and every row of it was like about 5 or 6 units high of figures. And it's like, it's just the merchandising, selling shit. And I don't know, it seems just, yeah, it's not really what I'd want to. I kind of went and think, I'm not really going to enjoy this. And I didn't really, because for me, I'm very much into the kind of the comics and the comic art and making comics and reading and enjoying comics, and the rest of it doesn't really hold much of appeal. That was something I found out more than, it came very evident to me. I was like, yeah, this is not for me.
Yeah.
But fair play to anyone who wants to go. That's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
But on the flip side of that, for being a bit of a shoddy event, we go to yours, Tony, which had an absolute book.
Yeah. So I went to the new venue, Thought Bubble. For anyone who's coming to this episode late. So it's now in the sort of, almost in the sort of centre of Leeds. It's in, I think, 3 big tents and a couple of other venues as well. It's in like the big town hall sort of thing. Mm. I have to say, just a quick sum of it, I thought it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I thought there was more people in there queuing up, waiting to get in, hanging about, as we were waiting to go in, there was more people there at 10 o'clock in the morning than there were for the whole weekend at London Super Comic Con.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. it was, I went down the day before, so I was down on the Friday. Yeah. I booked into the hotel and literally got the lift with John Wagner, said hello to Charlie Adlard, Jason Latour, literally you name it. There was a bar full of every creator, you know. And everyone was friendly. I was chatting to everyone. Gerard Way was, I think the Gerard Way effect had a big sort of impact on the numbers. I'll be completely honest with you. The fact that he was there was a huge deal, and something everyone was talking about. If anyone knows Gerard Way, he's done quite a lot of comics now. He was in My Chemical Romance. Is that the name of the band?
Yeah.
Or as me and the Gibbs kept calling it, is that a cartoon band? We kept saying, but yeah, whatever. it was sort of slightly sarcastic, but everyone who came across him, I know Sarah Harris put up on Facebook that she'd got in the lift with him and said he was like super friendly.
Nice.
I did a panel on the Saturday at 4:30, last panel of the day, you know, thinking, nah, nobody's going to turn up. It was at the same time as the Gerard Way panel, and people were queuing on Friday night from about 7 o'clock the night before the convention started to get in so they could get in the queue to see Gerard Way. It's like he had that much of an effect on it, you know.
Fucking hell!
Yeah,
there was they had to cap the queue. They weren't allowing people to queue up for his panel at 4:30 until I think like 2 o'clock or something. But people were still insisting on trying to get in. I was chatting to one of the creators, Luke Healy, who I did a panel with, and he was saying he'd caught a couple of girls sort of were trying to hide in the disabled toilet so they could get in to see him, and it was like that sort of backstage at a rock show thing going on, you know. And apparently everyone who spoke to him said he was lovely, like really nice.
Yeah.
He signed all day, pretty much, sat at a table all day chatting to everyone. You know, really good.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with him. Yeah, yeah.
I like his books as well. The Umbrella Academy, I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, you've read that. I've not read that, but it gets a lot of buzz. Does well, I think. Yeah, yeah. So I did a sort of run round of pubs. I put my head in and saw Leighton, Claire Ken Reynolds, Sidesy, Chris Travell, Mr. Scrivens, Jim Furlong, Jay Martin initially. And I went for a bite to eat with Matt Gibbs, Sarah Dunkerton, Laura and Chris Wildgoose, Matt Harrow and Mark Lamming, Dave Stokes and Bevis Musson, And then the hotel bar, Martin Simmons, Nick Brokenshaw. I've got to tell you, Nick is such a good bloke. Fucking hell, what an interesting guy Nick is. I know we've had him on the show, and he's probably one of our favourite guests, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know? I spoke to Nick quite a few times over the weekend. Top bloke. Probably my favourite person for the weekend that I'd never met before, and just, you know, talked with him. Yeah, really good guy. Like I say, John Wagner. Sarah Harris turned up. I think there'd been a 2000 AD party, so I think Is McAuliffe, Sarah, a lot of the cool crowd went to that party. And so then they sort of poured into the hotel bar, which was the one where literally every comic creator in the UK, I think, pretty much was in this bar. You turn around at the bar and you'd be standing next to somebody, and you know, it's like it was one of those really, really good vibe. Everyone was like super friendly. Oh, Dan Charlie as well, who I'll tell you before this one, I didn't actually have more than about 10 minutes at a time with Dan. Must have seen him 6 or 7 times over the weekend. Every time I saw him, he just sort of called me a wanker. We had a laugh and then he wandered off giggling, which I think is like the perfect description of my friendship with Dan. He's a top bloke. We must get Dan on soon. Really good guy. I mean, it's a list of who's who of the people, a lot of friends of ours. Just to give a few, the Wine and Zine Collective, I went over to their table and they were chuckling still about their appearance on our podcast, you know. They're fucking hilarious. Pick up their stuff. Paul Toner, who I'm a big fan of his work. And I finally got to meet T.O. Walker, who did a book I talked about called Not My Shame earlier this year about abuse. Do you remember the one I talked about?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, what a nice person. Oh, so... Neither of us knew what each other looked like, and we ended up getting directed to each other. I think she went to Lambo's table and he pointed her in my direction, sort of thing. Really, really nice to meet her. Warwick Fraser-Brown and Warwick Fraser-Cume and Aid Brown. The Gibster, big shout out to the Gibster, because the Gibster and me just wandered round sarcastically taking the piss out of people constantly for the whole weekend, which is the ideal dynamic, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Is McAuliffe and Stacey Whittle. In fact, the Gibster bought me Trances, The Adventures of Jack Death, issue 1. How cool is that?
That is cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. Gav and Emily, God bless them. PJ Montgomery, the mighty Imber and Jenkins, had a good chat with them. Daryl Thorpe, and Carice Thorpe as well, who she'd forgotten I'd met her. And I said, oh, don't you remember? I met you in a car park once. And Daryl went, that's a bit weird. Ed Gamester, who's always good company as well, Daryl's mate. Bob Turner, really, really good. After I reviewed his book Flood a few weeks ago, just I love Bob's stuff. Really cool, abstracty. You know, it's like a travelling eyeball that sort of travels across sunken worlds and stuff like that. Really good stuff. Mike Bedagli, I bought a couple of comics off Mike, which I'll no doubt review in the next few weeks. Simon Davis, Jason Atomic, who is doing the interview with Pat on Friday, Dan.
Oh, okay. So, that's
nice chat. I really like Jason.
Yeah.
Jason, I think we'll quite openly admit he's a little bit kooky in his attitudes. I think is he a Satanist or something? I think. But he's like the nicest guy. He's like the nicest Satanist you'll ever meet. Do you know what I mean? Gareth Lighthome, I'm sorry I missed you, mate. We tried to meet up. We were sort of messaging each other and it was just so busy and so sort of buzzy. Do you know what I mean? The whole weekend. Mike Allen, who we'll hear from in a minute, bought a T-shirt. Josh and Kirsty, great seeing them again. I haven't seen them since True Believers, I think we saw them last. Was it, Vince? Or was it the 2000 AD thing? You drew in his sketchbook, didn't you? You did a dread for him.
Oh,
was that?
2000 AD.
2000 AD, yeah.
Yeah. Or was that that before or after True Believers?
I can't remember.
Oh, it was around then.
Yeah, it's around the same time, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it's good to see them. They just stopped me and said, oh, sell us a T-shirt. So I was like walking around like some hobo with a rucksack selling T-shirts out the back of it. It's quite nice. But after I did a panel with Hamish Steele, who did Pantheon, and Luke Healy did another book for No Brow, How to Survive in the North. I was trying to speak to both of them throughout the day. Do you know what I mean? Trying to catch up with them at the No Brow table and stuff like that. Zoe was running the No Brow table and sort of trying to arrange it so I could catch them. And I was queuing up to get my ticket. And Hamish Steele like ran past the huge queue to get in, like fell on his face, did a sort of forward roll, stood up, shouted, "I'm all right," and then ran off again. And I thought I was going to say, "Oh, Hamish, I need to speak to you about the panel," and I thought, "Nah, it's a bit embarrassing. I'll let him go on." So yeah, because we had, it was at the same, that our panel was the same time as Gerard Way, we're like, oh no, nobody's turning up to our panel. So we just thought of, we met in the bar beforehand and had with Zoe and had a bit of a sort of chat and a laugh and sort of prepared some silly questions and, you know, this sort of thing. And then we were packed. We're in like a university lecture theatre, you know, and yeah, it was packed. There's no, the standing room only. Yeah, really pleased. Some lady drew me. I sort of caught sight of her drawing me, which I thought, I must try and find that picture. Yeah. So yeah, that went really well. And then sort of tried to rush around and say goodbye and try and catch up with people. And I think a lot of the tents closed at 6 on the Saturday. And then I got the train back and spent like all night on the train. But yeah, really good. A really good atmosphere, I have to say, because it was so sort of tightly packed within almost like a block, like a city block, you know. Everyone's walking about, carrying comics, talking to each other, queuing up. I would say probably the only thing that was a little bit of a buzzkill was the bag search. So if you went outside of a tent and wanted to go back in again and you had a rucksack with you, you had to get a bag search. And I think that slowed it up a little bit. But okay, I have to say, all the security people and the red shirts, who are the people who sort of run it, were ever so nice, super nice. And no one ever got, I didn't see anyone get the hump saying, what again? You know,
I will say that the times I've been at Thought Bubble, the people helping out have always been top notch.
Yeah. Yeah. They had the old roller skate ladies. Do you know what I mean? They had all that sort of thing as well.
Yeah.
The what?
Yeah. You know, is it roller derby?
Roller derby girls.
Yeah. No, they had roller derby girls sort of roller skating around. That was that was good. All the lovely little theatre with all sort of lecture theatres in it for the talks was really well organised. The hotel bar was literally just across the road, 10 steps from one of the tents, so you could go in there and it's full of, me and the Gibster went in for sort of just a break, just get a soft drink, and sat next to Jamie S. Rich, who was doing like interviews for Vertigo Comics, and you know, the next table you could see Mike Mulcher talking to someone from 2000 AD, and you know, real nice, oh, this is British comics, you know, this is the comics community thing going on. Really liked it, I have to say. Brilliant, really enjoyed it. Yeah, very good.
Nice. Okay. And you got a little bit of audio, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I got some audio with Mike Allen. Mike, thanks, Mike. You bought a T-shirt. In fact, he was quite pleased that he bought a T-shirt because he kept messaging me saying, oh, whereabouts are you? And we kept trying to catch up with each other. And I said, oh, I'm coming in now, hang by your table. And I walked in, caught him, and he went, thank fuck you bought me that because I've got no T-shirt to wear tomorrow.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so him and his pals are doing, I'll let them explain it, but they've got a little bit of a collective on, you know, a theme from a couple of weeks ago. They've got a bit of a collective going. And I did just a sort of 5-minute interview with them.
Okay, I'm at Thought Bubble with Mike Allen. Now, is it Cog Life Comics? Is it a bit of a new ongoing thing, is it?
Yeah, so Cog Life Comics is like the collective that we're all using. So me, Deck, Matt and John Slater are all working under this one team to put out as many comics as we can, really. And,
And what sort of genre is it? What sort of thing are you going for?
Whatever takes our fancy. Like, Matt's an athlete. He's been running. He carries on running. He was doing a 5K this morning.
So that's the art of running, is that?
So that's the art of running, which is the second print is out under Cog Life. So his is a load of sports things. He's doing sci-fi things. For the Isolation Anthology, it was more of a take of The Abominable Snowman, the Hammer horror film. Okay. And just like kind of doing my own tribute and homage to that, because I love the old school horror and B-movies as kind of like the genres I always
reach for. So the Peter Cushing black and white, that's great. Yeah. Amazing film,
I just love all the black and white.
Right, okay.
Just the simple horror films, bread and butter, so that's what I try and make as comics.
And what was the other one? So is there three, what's Sharkosaurus?
Sharkosaurus was an anthology I was in. It's all prose, so that was in...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was an anthology I was in where it's, you had to write either about dinosaurs or sharks, so I did about both tried to do that. So it's just something else that we're trying to do and keep creative and keep on going.
So first Thought Bubble, how's it? Second?
Second Thought Bubble as, like, punters and then the first one exhibiting.
Okay, so how's it gone?
Really good, like, the response has been really nice. We've been getting like to meet loads of people. It's been really friendly. It's always a great vibe. So
yeah,
made up to be here
really
and be
busy
on
as well. With venue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you found that? Or?
With this one, the marquee seems to be a bit busier on that side, but the vibe and footfall seems to be really good.
One of the halls has got like, it's like on a slant, so you feel like you're on board a ship. Have you been in that one yet?
No, not yet.
I've got a feeling it might just start sliding into the road at some point. Be alright, wouldn't it? Yeah. Loads of comic creators die. There you go. So what have you got planned to come out soon?
So out soon is we're going to be deciding on the next comic anthology. I've got, because I'm a musician as well, I've got a record coming out following a tour, so I don't really have...
Oh, yes, I saw you post on the page, didn't you, about doing gigs in comic
shops?
Yeah,
that's...
Yeah, okay.
So we've got a UK tour lined up for March, so I'm trying to get in comic shops as well to promote the books and also... Yeah, yeah. It gets a bit more of an audience as well.
An acoustic gig or
something? Yeah, I'm an acoustic artist, so do acoustic gigs and see that. But I think we're going to be sitting down this weekend and deciding on the next anthology and where to go from there.
What about other conventions? Have you got anything else coming up?
Nothing yet. We've got the Lakes, but just as punters and just scoping that out because we went the first year it was on and it's a gorgeous convention in Kendal, so that's always fun. And see where it takes us from there.
You're Liverpool based, all of you? Yeah. What would be a good nearby convention other than Lakes for you up there? I suppose the MCMs, if you wanted to do something like that.
The MCMs would be...
I'll make that face as well.
Yeah, at a push, but I haven't even been to one of them as a fan, so I'd rather if it's Thought Bubble or nothing really at the moment.
Look at it, he's been in cosplay to one, clearly, hasn't he?
Yeah,
I can tell, yeah. Okay, so where can people find your stuff online? Where can they buy a copy?
Online, Facebook, it's Coglife Comics. Then it's Coglifer on Twitter. We've got our website, which is coglifecomics.co.uk. And follow us on Instagram as well. It's all linked through the Facebook.
Brilliant. Thank you, dude. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Nice one, Tony.
Yeah, packed. I'll tell you what, that was a packed hallway as well. Like, one of the tents had... every tent was packed. Like, genuinely, there was no real quiet tables or anything like that, you know. But one of the tents that was on the piss a bit, so it was like it felt a bit like you're standing on the deck of a ship. Do you know what I mean? So you're sort of leaning. That's the one that Lady and Sidesy and all that lot were in, you know. And at one point, I said something to the Gibster, and he turned around. And he went, "Fuck me!" I was confused. I almost fell over.
So you want to be on the bottom of that incline, so everyone slowly makes their way to you.
Yeah, when it slides into the road, you're the first person to get hit by a car.
To be fair, like, we made a joke about it, but like, social media, my feed at least, was awash with people that Thought Bubble was saying what a great time they were having.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, really good.
Lots of people selling out
books.
We've
got to get a table next year, guys. It's hugely enthused by it. Yeah. Yeah,
that
really good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice.
We have to book a awesome comic podcast, Dan, Tony, and Vince table, one each, so we're guaranteed to get one.
Yeah. A sort of sexy hotel suite with lava lamps and waterbeds.
Oh, dear. Let's get on to something more palatable, shall we? Let's, because we don't have a guest, and we've got a couple of books to talk about this week. We're just throwing the schedule just right out the window. We're doing whatever we want. So we're going to start off with talking about a couple of comics, and then we've got some questions that we're going to throw out, and then, we'll see where we go from there. It's a party. It's an absolute party.
It's free people.
Yeah. It's an S Club party.
Yeah.
Not in the same room.
Yeah.
No. It's funny. Don't tell people that. People think we live together.
In awesome pod towers.
It's like the monkeys. Yeah. We live in a little house with our bicycle.
Yeah. It feels like the fucking monkeys some weeks. Anyway. Yeah. Who wants to go first? Let's talk about some comics.
I think you should go first, because me and Dan have just done a bit of talking, haven't we?
Yeah.
So probably you have a go.
Oh, really?
Let the work.
Yeah.
Whoever you want.
All right. Well, my first book that I'm going to talk about this week was one from my Comixology Exploits. And I love a good trade now and then when I find it. And it was one from Action Lab. You know the Action Lab comic guys?
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's part of the Danger Zone section of Action Lab, which means it's a bit more grown up. And it's called Medicine. Now, that's Medisin. And it's volume one called First Do No Harm. Now, this is the basic setup. It's about healthcare for supervillains, basically.
Okay.
I think this would be right up your street, Dan. A team of doctors are blackmailed into providing medical aid for the world's worst bad guys. Led by the brilliant Ethan Sharp, the doctors struggle with their own ethics and morals in a dangerous battlefield where saving a patient's life can mean death for countless others. And volume one collects as, like, the first issues 1 to 3, so you can get in on the ground floor of their new series. And this was quality. This is it was $2.99 on Comixology. I want to get that out of the way just in case I forget about it. So, and that's for like 80 pages. So you get a decent amount, and this was good comics. I mean, I thought I'd just, because for that price, I just thought I'd just try it out. I'm always intrigued by Action Labs stuff because it always seems like they're putting out high quality work. And this one, especially when it comes to superheroes, because we've talked about that, like small press and independent superhero comics. There's so many traps that people can fall into, aren't there? I mean, we've talked about it many times, you know. So I'm always intrigued by the way independent comics do superheroes. Because apart from Vanguard, most of them are all rubbish. See what did there?
Oh, thank you.
That's all right. enough Dutch rudder. I'll get back on this comic.
It's been a while since you talked about the old Dutch rudder, the old favourite.
Bringing it back. No, but seriously though, medicine is going to be right at the street of all our listeners. It's great stuff. Now, the creative team is written by Jeff Dyer and Mark McKeon. I hope I got that right. Art by David Brame. Colours by Joaquin Perea, and letters by Adam Wallett. I think I did it right there.
I think it might. I'm gonna guess it might have gone a bit wrong when you said yuck win.
I know.
Let's go with that.
It's Joaquin, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh dear God.
Yuck win.
Okay. Oh fuck you, Bachar. yeah, sorry.
But I can't take the fucking piss. I actually fucking butcher people's pronunciation of their name.
I think me and Dan, like, I think we're 50-50, mate. I think, like, if anyone gives us a name, there's a good chance we're going to absolutely murder it.
Yeah.
I've got a couple coming myself. I can't say fuck all.
But this book, though, there is plenty of murder in it because it is all about supervillains, and it focuses on that side of the coin, really. Because the doctors that are saving them, they are moral people. They are literally, and they're brilliant in their field. So you have them having those moral dialogues, you know, knowing that they're doing essentially awful work because they're saving the bad guys. But in a weird kind of way, because you're following this story, you're kind of on the bad guy's side, if that makes sense. So whenever you see a super sort of fight and a bad guy's getting absolute, like, their arms blown off or, like, you know, getting a hole blown through them, whatever, you're just seeing, it's almost like the superheroes are, like, just a force of nature, like a villain would be normally in these sort of comics. So I find that quite interesting. It's done very well because there's a couple of, like, sort of female supervillains that are in it. One of them is that sort of like panther sort of style woman who finds out she's pregnant halfway through the book, and it handles that very well as well. But then you get these flashes of these people being truly horrible, and that sort of it snaps you back into focus, thinking, "Oh, hang on, no, these are actually terrible."
Do they do the old school villain of kind of like wasting people when they fuck up? Because that used to be kind of like a trope, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, not yet, because basically this healthcare system, they're being blackmailed by one big villain that is never there. It's always on a screen called M'lady, and this person is funding all of these heroes. I mean, all these doctors to save these villains, and if they don't, then they've all got like sort of plants. And if they try running away, then the trackers sort of activate, and like the heads don't explode like the Running Man, but bad things happen to them.
Okay.
Basically, yeah. So there's lots of interesting things going on, and the art is absolutely fantastic. I mean, seriously, this, you know, I know Action Lab are like a high quality operation, but this could quite easily be, you know, this art team could be any one of the major companies.
You know?
And the story backs it up as well. So, I mean, I think a lot of people out there would really get a kick out of this. And the first three issues, I mean, I thought, oh, let's check it out and see how far I get in the book. I started it and rinsed it just in one go. I even went as far as actually rating it on Comixology. I always forget to rate things.
Yeah.
Do you do that? Do you always forget to rate things on Comixology?
Yeah,
I often do rate my shit.
That's completely different, Tony.
Oh, okay.
P.S. Never send me those photos ever again.
P.S. In your inbox.
Yeah.
I used to do
the WeTransfer link.
Rating fucking people on eBay. Do you remember? I haven't done that in years.
I can never be bothered.
Yeah. No.
I do like A and then like star like a couple hundred times. Like great buyer or something stupid like that. It's always A plus 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 plus.
Here's a question for the listeners though. How important are these rating systems to you when buying digital comics online? Because sometimes they will just have the star rating without anyone. They won't have a written review, will they? It's not like Amazon. Sometimes you're just going on the star.
To be honest, it might sway me more if it's a small press book.
Really?
If there was like a dozen reviews of saying this is really good, well worth a read, I think that would sway me, as opposed to saying it's plopped on there that there was nothing, no feedback whatsoever.
I've got to the point now, I think, where a lot of comic, and bear in mind I write a lot of comic reviews, there's a circle jerk going on around comic reviews at the moment.
Yeah. But Comixology, you cannot dismiss a review. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like when you, sorry, go on with what you were saying about the reviews.
No, I just find that there's a lot of sort of, because we don't get paid for it. We don't really enjoy writing bad reviews.
No.
And I think a lot of people are afraid of giving a bad review because they won't get any more comics from that company / person.
Yeah.
I think there's too many good reviews out there. I see some good reviews for stuff and I think, fuck me, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a discussion we've had recently around things, isn't it? I gave a constructive review recently and then was surprised to see people going, this is amazing. And I'm like, did you get a different comic from me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like when we talk about books on this thing, like whenever I'm sort of recommending, that's why it's called the recommendations section. I don't always consider it to be a review. It's just something I think, oh, well, you know, some people might get a kick out of this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know you could argue that in some ways I am reviewing it, but I'm more in a sort of like, well, no, check this out. I enjoyed it. You can enjoy it too.
Yeah, I think if you say, look, check it out, it's a recommendation, I really enjoyed it, then that's a recommendation. I think if you investigate it a little bit and go, this is the artwork, this is the writer, this is a read, then I think you are talking about the quality of it. I think that's got to be in some way a review, you know.
Well, the stuff you put up on Down the Tubes in your own site, Tony, like, they're very kind of even-handed, and I think people respect that in a review. If you're sort of saying, well, I'm a professional or semi-professional reviewer, whatever, and you get a material in and everything you're reading is amazing because it's been sent into you, you're not doing it right.
Yeah, you know? I think there is a fine line. I mean, I've said it before, I get very excited, you know, and I'm there's hyperbole with me, you know. I genuinely admit that, you know, but I think recently I've been in two conversations in the last 2 weeks with creators who've gone, I don't like the fact that everything is a good review.
No,
I don't like it anymore. I think you can go too far either way, to be fair, but I think for anyone who reads my stuff knows that I've recently done a few bad reviews. Not bad, this is, you can't say bad or good reviews.
No,
you've got to say critical, and where I mention the bad aspects of a comic rather than just mentioning the good aspects of it. You know, and some comics aren't very good. There's no two ways about it. And I suspect in about 40 minutes, we'll be getting onto a prime fucking example. I sent you some pictures of earlier.
If you've got criteria against what you're kind of marking comic books and right, the understanding of the craft, does it tell a good story? What is the artwork like?
Yeah.
And it's going on a grading system or whatever, however you do it. Some, by kind of definition, have to be better at some things than others. So some will become not as good.
And there's got to be a problem with every comic. And I think if you don't say, I did a review of Sid by Olivia Sullivan recently, and I really like her work. I think it's really original, and you know, the expressionistic and stuff. And I wrote and I said, look, there's the big problem with this is the lettering. It's very poorly lettered, and it's breaking up the image, my enjoyment of the visuals. And the guys from Good Comics wrote back and said, bang on, thanks a lot, mate. We are going to work on the lettering now.
Yeah, it's great.
And I really like Sam. I was chatting to him the week. I didn't see enough of him, to be fair, but that's the best thing ever. You know, that's why you want to review. You don't review so you can just like circle jerk and you know, No, that's the way I feel about it. And I think sometimes it's too many 5-star reviews. Not everything is perfect.
Yeah.
No.
You know.
Well, I don't think anything's perfect.
No.
You know what I mean?
Pardon?
Apart from you, Tony.
Thank you.
There's that old saying, isn't it? You learn more in defeat than you ever will in winning and victory. And it's true, because if someone gives you an honest-to-God crit and saying, right, X, Y, and Z is great, but this stuff here really needs work, and that's a great... it's really hard to get that information, and be given that information, being able to bury yourself is fantastic. I mean, I went for that Valiant review when we was at London Super Comic Con.
Yeah.
And that was the, no offense to the guy, it was just a total waste of my time. I wanted to kind of have some constructive feedback on what I was doing, and
yeah,
it felt like I got generic answers 101, and I was like, okay,
yeah.
And just I can't take any away from this, because you're kind of offering up stuff that's irrelevant. But
Chris Imber puts me right on this. He's done a few, isn't he? And he's very much into that side of things. He really wants people to dig in, you know, get in the weeds of the stuff and say, this bit here, this bit here. And I spoke to Chris, and he sent me a couple of images through and said, what do you think about this? And I said, you know, I really like it. I absolutely, you know, really like, I mean, I love Chris's stuff. You know, it's really good. But what about this? And he says, oh, yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's just, you know, and I think you got the only way you're going to grow. And if you've done a few comics, I mean, I look back at some of the comics I did in like 1996, and I think that's fucking terrible. You know, so we all know that our past work isn't perfect. You know,
if you're offering your stuff up for review, you've got to be prepared to get a bad review back.
Yeah, it is like hold your breath, see what happens, isn't it? If you just put it out thinking I'll wait for everyone to say how wonderful and marvellous are, and there are certain pockets of the small press who are like that, aren't there? You know, we all know them. I mean, behind closed doors, we talk a little bit about certain, you know, certain reviewers / review sites where everything is marvellous, and we look at it and think, what the fuck?
But also, when it comes to, like, reviews and recommendations and stuff, it is all, I think, it's based upon what you like and what you know and things
like
that.
Yes, very much
like,
so. Yeah. Like, it's completely subjective.
Completely subjective.
I appreciate that. But there are a few things that are not. There are a few things that are, like, stuff you can't read, printing that is too muddy. You know, there's a few, but I think once you get beyond that sort of baseline, then everything is down to personal taste, isn't it? You know?
I think no matter the genre, no matter the subject matter, there are books, for instance, you know, there's been stuff that's talked about that, you know, we've talked about, you know, that we've recommended to listeners that I might not be able to, you know, it's not my cup of tea, but I can still look at it and think, well, that's a quality piece of work.
With an objection, you know, you've got...
It's not for me.
Produced.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's well drawn. Yeah. I've got a certain style of comic that I like. You know, I like a sort of a bit of character, but it's a sort of more realistic style of drawing. And I'm not particularly... I don't really get into the sort of manga style drawing, but I appreciate it when it's well done.
Yeah.
Would you say if a site that gave continual good reviews, even the stuff that other people might consider not so great, devalues their site and their opinion?
There's certain sites I go to that I know, for example, I'll know what creators they will say are brilliant, and I'll only go to the reviews so I can see preview images of the art. Because that's the preview image of the page, which, you know, is quite often what I, you know, I always pick out pages or panels and put them in that are a good example. That's where I draw my conclusions from, rather than people saying, no, you know, this is meant to be this and this is that, you know.
The other side of the coin as well is I don't think there's any place for a negative review that offers absolutely nothing apart from...
Yeah, exactly.
When you read these people that are just being overly harsh, you think, what's the point? What is the point of doing that other than just...
Yeah, if you're just going to utterly destroy something, everything we talk about has something good about it. Yeah.
Well, it's like that last review, that review that we all kind of went on about the first issue of Comic House, and the guy straight out of the fucking trap was saying, oh, I really don't like these kind of anthologies, I'm fucking sick of them. Yeah. It's like, well, kind of you set your stall out there, and then anything you say after this is just it's irrelevant, because you've already said you're biased to the point where anything in this is going to be shit because I don't like these things. So that kind of like that is like you're wasting your time. There we go. Never been back to that site since, to be fair.
No, I never have either.
No.
Yeah, I'm not bothered by it. There's a lot of sites I don't go to now.
What were we talking about? Oh, I was talking about a recommendation, wasn't I?
That went off on one.
As the show always does, but I think that was it had to be said, I think. Because it has been on our minds for a couple of weeks, actually.
Yeah, the bad review thing, I've written a little thing about it today, funny enough, when I was sitting on a train at 2 a.m. But I do think there's a lot of relevance to, we need to start moving that way. We need to start moving into sort of critical reviews.
Something constructive, I think.
I feel a bit bad about, like, doing it on small press titles, but if people, like you said, if people offer it up for a review, you kind of got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're that concerned, offer it to a small group of people you trust first before.
There is a responsibility that we now own, because if we here's an example. Someone sent me a page of their comic recently, and in it had a decapitated politician. And I just felt that it was boring, banal, keyboard warrior bullshit. Yeah. And he said to me, "Do you think I've gone too far?" And I said, "Yeah, you have. That's too far for me." And I bumped into him at Thought Bubble, and he completely blanked me.
Really? Okay.
And this is what? Someone I've known. Yeah, this is someone I've known for 15 years.
No, that's a shame.
So I think. Don't ask me if you don't want my opinion. Firstly, but I said hello to him. You know what I mean? I think there is the possibility if you get sent a comic out and you don't like it and you give it some kind of bad review, there is a possibility of bad feeling. And there is also...
The
reason that a lot of these sites don't give bad reviews is because, say, for example, you give a bad review to, I don't know, say, for example, you're on the 2000 AD list, so they send you out copies. You give a couple of bad reviews to a couple of 2000 AD stories, they stop sending you their comic.
Hmm.
So I think that's one of the reasons, you know?
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, as a business, you wouldn't want to go on to that kind of thing. And, yeah, it's a shame. But, I always think if you... Say I sent you a piece of work and said, "I'm not quite sure about this," or "What do you think of this?" The fact of me asking demonstrates an underlying unsurety for me about what I've done.
Yeah.
Why would I show that to you if I was anything but unsure about it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's stuff in the past. I think there was with, years ago now, but Vanguard issue 2, there's a sequence like that I wasn't sure about. And then you said, "Oh yeah, maybe worth covering up." And I did, and I felt better about it.
Mate, I think that's before we knew each other, wasn't it? And I often think about that moment, because I think had we not have been, well, I'm not a sensible individual, but you clearly are. So had the fact that we are sensible individuals and we had that conversation about it and you changed it, I think it's like shows huge amounts of adulthood. Do you know what I mean? It does.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah.
And I think people just send their comic out thinking someone will say, "Oh, it's marvellous. Put it on websites. It's marvellous," you know. And then and you think, no, it's not. It's not how it should work, you know.
Yeah.
No, you want to better yourself.
Yeah.
You get better, and one way is getting constructive criticism. Not, you don't want to get people just ragging on your fucking work.
Yeah.
But getting that one nugget of information that says, if you did this better, your comic would be better. That's You're given the path there to improve yourself, and it's worth jumping.
Yeah, you've got to think of it like art school, when you take it to your tutor and your tutor says, like, this, that, perspectives out, blah, 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 you know, tears it apart, you walk away.
Hmm.
Yeah. And you're going to do better then, aren't you? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Back to your recommendation.
Yeah.
It's what happens when we don't have a guest. We just do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
No, but Medicine Volume 1 is it's a thorough recommendation. As we were just having that little discussion there, I was trying to think of, what critiques would I have? What constructive critiques? But I can't really think of anything. So I think that's the highest... That's the highest recommendation I could have. I was sort of looking through pages and just thought, yeah, no, that works. Because sometimes lettering is an easy go-to. Because I think sometimes there's wonderful writing, wonderful art, but sometimes the lettering does slip up. But I was looking at these pages like, yeah, that's fantastic. So it's a great book. If you're into your sort of like darker superhero styled stories, then Medicine Volume 1 is definitely for you. You can find it on Comixology for $2.99. And what I'll probably do on the group talk, I'll post some pages of it. Stuff so you can
let's do that. We stopped doing that recently.
Yeah,
let's all do that for our recommends this week. Because
that's a good idea.
We should start doing that more. Yeah, because I'm fucking head over heels in love with mine. So
it's the visual medium. You know what I mean? You want to get seeing the art.
So I can put some. I can put some from my the shit one later as well. go on, Dan.
This is one I picked up at London Super Comic Con, and it's Impossible.
Oh, but, brilliant. Yeah.
Chris Sides, Rollinson, and Franco. And I just demolished this in very quickly because it's such a great comic. I really enjoyed it. I'll read you the blurb on the back. Impossible. Betrayed by the mercenary crew of his orbital cleanup vessel and blown out into space with nothing but his suit and his wits, McGillis must perform the impossible if he is ever to see his family again. Will McGillis is in deep shit. and you can kind of get the elevator pitch there, which is very succinctly put, that the chap gets blasted out into space and betrayed, and then it's I don't want to give too much away. That's the bad thing about
Rick. Yeah, with this one, definitely. Yeah.
In this one, but kind of, I was expecting a book like that Sandra Bullock film. What's it called?
Oh, yeah. Gravity. I know, me too, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought this is going to be really interesting. And then it's not that, and it goes somewhere else really great.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was an absolutely great read.
There's going to be more of the story in the future.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a kind of one and done.
Yeah.
I was like, can I have some more of this now, please?
Yeah.
I really wanted the next bit straight away. And I sort of messaged out to Chris. Yeah, really, really enjoyed that. I thought it was really well done, well paced.
It really doesn't end how you expect it, does it?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of, I think that's to the benefit of it.
Yeah,
because
me too.
It's a real sting. You don't see it coming, what happens, and you know, oh, that's a really interesting tangent for the story to kind of go down. And the art colouring is all fantastic, really good. Like, you get the kind of the warm hues when the people are inside the spaceship, the spacecraft, and outside space, obviously the cold blues. It's really well done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Cool. Yeah.
And it's lovely in the back. A breakdown on the page, which I love the old thumbnails and seeing how people plan out their pages and stuff.
Yeah.
It's really nice package.
Yeah. I picked it up and I couldn't put it down until I finished it on the way back from London. So good.
So nice work, chaps. You done.
I think Sides really stepped up with the writing. Not that Sides is bad. I love Sides' writing. You know, it's really. Sides is one of these people who, to me, he takes writing as like a serious thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's really. He does some really lovely crafted stuff. You know, you can tell he's really sort of honed it down. You know,
there's a lot of stuff now. I read comics and do the same thing with films and books and think, does this bit need to be in here?
Yeah.
A lot of time you can cut some of the stuff away. With that, there's nothing. It's absolutely tight. Like, it's everything in there should be in there. Serves a purpose, and it's really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
There's a great scene with an airlock without spoiling anything. The airlock scene,
yeah,
nothing but thumbs up for me. It was awesome,
really well done.
And the one that sticks with me is the last scene.
Oh god,
right, okay,
yeah,
you like that, aren't you? You know,
yeah,
yeah.
You can check that out if you go to www.marcosia.com. It's $14.99 and $9.99 for GB and. Chris gave us a load of prints and stuff for that one, which it made it even sweeter. Cheers, Chris.
Yeah.
What have you got, Tony?
I'm going to go back to Humanoids UK, back to a series. It's actually the prequel series to the series that you and I lost our shit over about 3 months ago, Vince. So I'm going to Carthago Adventures, book one, Zana, Z-A-N-A, it's the prequel series to... the sort of underwater adventure series that's Carthago, that is just fucking awesome. It's written by Christoph Beck, art this time by Alexa Gadzik, who also does the colours, and it's published by Humanoids UK, as I say. Start with the cover, because that's something you should start with. I think we should always mention covers when we do reviews, I think.
Yeah.
And this one, I think, again, they are deserved by the cover again. This is the second time I've noticed it with this series. And you and I talked about it before, Vince, didn't we? Where the cover to Volume 5, I think, of the original series was just... They should have used that. You know, sort of this incredible image. And this one is... it looks like a sort of caveman in the corner of a cave. And it doesn't demonstrate to me the sort of gloriousness of the book. It's just sort of, if you looked at that, you think, if you sort of glanced at it, you think it was some kind of sort of fantasy book, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's not at all. It does it a sort of disservice, I think, anyway. Because there are better images, which I'll talk about in a minute, that they could have used. But it opens, it sort of time skips again. The Carthago, the main series, time skipped at the start as well. And this starts in 1910 in the Caucasus Mountains. And there's two guys on horseback traveling through the snow to meet a woman they've heard about. Who grew up as a wild creature, and they're going there, and they basically find her in a basement, and it's a sort of female Bigfoot, put it that way, who's locked in a basement in the house, and she's basically being raped for money for 3 kopecks a time, and she's sort of this sort of bestial woman who is, it's like a sort of novelty thing for soldiers and people to come and rape. It then moves to 1959 to the Ural Mountains, and there's a team of soldiers who catch a fleeting look at what looks like a Bigfoot before a Stone Age spear flies out of the woods and kills one of them. And it's like that, you know, that famous image of Bigfoot sort of stepping across, you know, sort of where some trees have been chopped down. You know, the famous image you always see. It's a bit like a sort of fleet, and you're like, oh, what's that? You know. Then it jumps to a boxing match in Madison Square Garden in 1965, and there's a man mounting of a Russian boxer who utterly destroys the sort of smaller American opponent, and the boxer's called Nikolai. And the Wolfgang, who is the guy in the original series who's in the wheelchair, who lives in the Carpathian Mountains, that guy, Vince? Got all the technical, he's got all the submarines and the sort of millionaire character. Well, it's him. I think it's a younger version of him. So he and Nikolai become friends. Time jumps again to 1974. Some of Wolfgang's soldiers or sort of men go and rescue Nikolai from a Siberian prison. And they go on an expedition together. So they head off into the woods and up into the mountains, and they begin to see sort of strange symbols carved onto trees, and they find a cavern with sort of makeshift beds, and there's sort of huge footprints. And what this does is, for about the first three quarters of the book, you don't really see the creatures involved. It's sort of boy's own adventure, kind of adventure story, you know, searching for this sort of tribe of Bigfoot out in the wilderness. And there's a bit of sort of they fight with the Russian army, and there's a bit of sort of politics and bribery going on and that sort of thing. And then they find a dead soldier hanging outside of a cave, so they sort of make off, and inside is this Bigfoot sitting there. And then after that, it just goes off. You go right, it's gone. It's like from that point in the first series where you begin to see the shark and you go, right, here we go, you know. And there's this image of, like, they look up onto the top of a hilltop and they see something. And from that point on, I thought, I'm completely sold on this. I've got to get the next volume immediately. You know, it's just one of these sort of things. So where the first series was underwater, this is much more in the mountains, in the snow, with the sort of Bigfoot. And I've got a feeling, I think in later volumes, it goes to a sort of dinosaur thing. I'd only say that because of the covers.
I only looked through it on, because the collection was at London, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
There is some pretty oh no, I'm not going to spoil it for you, Tony.
Okay. Right, cool. But so the first volume, you have Nikolai and Wolfgang, and they make this really sort of interesting team. You've got this sort of man mountain of a guy and this scientist who's got his own, you know, he's not a pushover himself, you know, he's got his own things going on. And so you've got Wolfgang, who moves into the situation of being the central character and being almost, because he's not quite a hero, is he, from what you know of him, the hero. Gadget's art is not as clinical, not as clean as the previous volumes. There's a more of a brushy quality. I'm going to say maybe someone like Stas Johnson or Renato Guedes, who's currently doing the Exo Man of War series.
Okay.
A little touch of Diodato. But still really readable. It's not that sort of completely characteristic sort of artwork that it becomes difficult, especially in a book like this where you've got an awful lot of characters, you're not wandering around and stuff. The writing to me is a sort of combination of, there's a big chunk of character development, and that's what really warms you to these characters. You know, you really begin to like them, you know. There's a scene at the end of the first volume where you think, where the two characters get together again years later, and you think, I really like that. They're endearing, these characters now, you know. But they combine with that the science of archaeology, I suppose. You know, like the Indiana Jones element to it, but with an Edgar Rice Burroughs sense. You know, like Journey to the Center of the Earth's Core and Pellucidor and all that sort of thing. That sort of exploration type thing. H. Rider Haggard, maybe King Solomon's Mines a little bit, that sort of thing.
Okay.
I think we'll get some bit more Bigfoot. I think that's coming, and then we're going to get something else, maybe some Loch Ness Monster, I'm suspecting, because they touch on that. But like we said before, go read this stuff. People should be losing their shit over these books, because they are fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
I think the marketing on them, I genuinely think the marketing could be better, because I should know about this. Should be in front of me at every convention I go to. Yeah, this should be on the front of a load of review websites, like we talked about. This should be getting pumped everywhere, because as soon as people grab hold of how good these books are, then, you know, they're gonna they the image should be, this shouldn't be going to Humanoids UK. Humanoids UK is such a small outfit. These books should be going straight into the images back, image catalogue, and being sold on the shelves. That's how I think they should be doing it if it was me. Yeah, brilliant. So go and get it. Carthago Adventures. I just read book one, Zana, so by Christoph Beck, and Alexka Gadjic. Very good. Really good.
Yeah. Oh, nice one. I'm thoroughly looking forward to reading it.
Weird. I think you'll love it, mate. Yeah.
You said that about the covers, like the cover to the Meta Barons. The first volume is not really not an accurate representation of the comic you get inside.
Yeah,
because there's so many beautiful pieces of artwork, and it seems very pedestrian, the cover.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
So
You open some of these Humanoids and City Book books, and you think, "Oh my god, that is amazing!"
Yeah, it's like, holy fuck! It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, the one I talked about a couple of weeks ago, Whispers in the Walls, that had a nice cover that drew me in, that wanted to, you know, made me want to look more at the interiors. As soon as I saw the interiors, they blew me away, though.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, you know, surely there could have been something that could
I know, and they stick them on the tables, wrapped.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't they? Yeah.
Yeah, and we've all fallen for that, haven't we? Picking up a book without looking inside. We've all done that.
Yeah. I do that most weeks.
So three cracking books already. So there you go. I'll tell you what else is cracking. Some of the questions we had.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. This will get us going. This will probably take until the rest of the show, actually, the way we're going. Now, first one from our old mate, Reach Illustration.
Hey,
I'm not Daredevil 4 on Twitter.
That still makes me laugh.
He said, let's have a look. Old timey comics had a lot more dialogue and text in each panel, making it more of a read. Would comics benefit going back to that style?
I would say the medium has evolved, and you could take it back, arguably, but like, I guess the way you present the text as well, because I'm sure we've all come across comics where it's just a whole page of prose, and unless it's formatted correctly, you're kind of, oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
I think we've been too tight around what should and shouldn't be in a comic. I think there's certain books that have been written about how many words there should be in a panel, how many words there should be on a page.
Oh, no, yeah.
You know, and I think, no, I don't want that. I want if the story suits a page of text right in the middle of it, I'm going for it. Fair enough. If it doesn't, don't use it. Do you know what I mean? I think
you've got to be careful how many words you have in a sort of speech balloon or a thought balloon or whatever. But in terms of like in a panel and page, you know, if you just say, I work to the ratio of 25 words in a sort of word balloon. I could still have a long conversation because there'll just be more balloons sort of stacked together.
Yeah. If you look at a book like Powers, Oeming and Bendis do that really well. They almost have a whole conversation in a panel, don't they?
Yeah.
With a sort of cascading word balloon.
Yeah.
I think that works fine. Yeah.
And Bendis does a lot of that, doesn't he? He does a lot of dialogue. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think with comics being so expensive and you picking up a comic for £3 and reading it in 5 minutes, I think we need almost to encourage people to spend longer reading it because I think they get more for their money by putting more words in it sometimes. I think there's a lot of, I don't know, I think we strip back too much dialogue sometimes. You know? I know it's in the European comics, there's an awful lot more dialogue sometimes.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, fuck me. Like, going back to the Meta Barons, there's fucking acres of that in there.
Yeah.
Like, talking about what's going on, it's a lot more like they tell you the story as opposed to...
Yeah, exposition, kind of, isn't it? Yeah.
What did he call that when it's pulled out like an action? Like, it's got like a frame of a spaceship going through another spaceship, and basically it tells you what's happening as opposed to like three or four pages of it.
Exposition.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
The story's a hell of a lot more exposition-y than...
I get you. Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely.
Do you think with those sort of books where you see lots of dialogue and description and stuff, do you think it dramatically changes when it comes to a digital medium? I mean, for instance, the guided view. When you're reading it guided view, you're seeing it almost panel by panel, and sometimes it can have a cinematic sort of pacing. So you're not really aware. But like you say, sometimes you open up some of those European books and you're seeing all that dialogue. It's fairly daunting to see an entire page of that kind of thing. Do you think that guided view and things like that help the reader in some ways.
Yeah, sometimes. I think you pay more attention to each panel, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a totally different reading experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can remember like what the Alan Moore stuff where he did the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and there's great big newspaper articles yeah. and like when you're kind of working through the comic and they come against it, I say, oh fuck, but then actually when I've read it, it's good, it's like a great bit of world building and there's a lot yeah. of ideas in there
yeah.
And it deserves a place, but it's weird that kind of jolt that you can pick up a book and blast through hundreds of pages of text no problem. But when like you present everyone in a comic book, I find it a little jarring, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right. Like recalling like what Rory just said about the comic books having so much more text in them than they do kind of now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting one.
I used to relish getting some of the sort of real sort of whacked out Bronze Age books. You know, like there was a lot of writing on just in the middle of a page sometimes, and like, I used to read in maybe Killraven or Deadly Hands Kung Fu or stuff, and I used yeah. to really the fact that it's almost like I'm getting my money's worth, and I'd read it and read it and read it, and I think it's the words can be beautiful as well. People forget that, you know.
Yeah,
I've definitely one that changes the I'm pot calling the kettle black here, but when supervillains and superheroes having banter exchanges while they fight,
yeah,
and like pretty much now there's no banter and like saying about right. 100 words as they're falling down the side of a building, yeah. stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's, I think they've looked a lot more towards cinema and film.
Yeah, yeah. You look at Spider-Man in Civil War, and that's what happens, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, yeah.
Yeah. Matt Strott added to the conversation by saying that's at Messy Comics. He says, "I'm on a crusade to bring back thought bubbles too."
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that's something that.
Yeah, you don't see much of them anymore, do you?
Yeah, I like that. I used to like that. Yeah. Yeah. And also I like word balloons and thought bubbles on covers. I like that. I don't know, something about it. It's got comics on it. Do you know what I mean? It's not just a
yeah.
paperback novel cover. It's comics on the cover. Hmm. Yeah, I like that about it, you know.
Yeah. Marvel used to have so much, didn't it? Yeah,
definitely. They'd be shouting something like, you know, oh no, my wife has died, and it's this vampire that's done it, or something like that. You know, they yeah. say it, and you think, oh, that's brilliant. All oh, right, I'm we're getting
what's
into
that one with the yeah. Teen Titans cover? It's like, at the end of this, one of the Titans would be dead. And you're like, yeah. oh, fuck.
Yeah. yeah. Well, there's the Flash cover. What's it? Don't buy this book, or buy this book, or the Flash will die. You know, there's that famous cover, isn't there?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. I like that. You know?
Yeah.
Speak to your reader. Don't just put like some generic out the cupboard picture of Batman sitting on the top of a building on your cover. It's boring.
Yeah.
Matt also asked another question.
Okay.
You're in a bathroom stall doing the big job, and someone is dying outside. Do you finish or rush to help?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Not only would I finish, I'd also probably check Twitter.
Yeah.
Instagram, picture of it.
It's a weird one because, like, last year I did my first aid course again, and like now I see people like on the road like a bit fucked up or feel like they're looking at a bit of distress. There's a part of me, this little voice says, "You're a first aider," and I feel like saying, "Shut up."
I remember being in the cinema once. For some reason, some bellender jumped off the balcony. And I was with a little bunch of friends, and one of the girls with us shouted, "Stand back, I'm a first aider." And I still say to her now, and that was 28 years ago she did that.
Fucking hell, yeah.
Yeah. She will never live that down. Yeah.
Stand back, I'm a first aider.
Yeah.
Someone came up to me the other day in the office and said, "Dan, you're the nurse in the office." I said, "I'm the first aider, I'm the fucking nurse." And they went, "Well, I've got a really bad headache." I looked at him like, what am I supposed to do with that? I can't.
Yeah.
Give him a cuddle. I said,
take some water and have a bit of fucking ibuprofen.
Yeah.
I'm not sort of doctor on fucking call.
What do? Drop your trousers.
Drop trowel. Dr. Dan, medicine woman.
Rectal examination.
You know, like, you know that cover of the Captain Marvel cover where she's putting the glove on? It was like a recreation of that.
Oh.
Sadly, no.
I've got a sore throat.
Because I'm still working at my current place of employment. That would have resulted in my termination.
Not for long if they listen to this show. Yeah. Right, Tom Curry at this Chugglehead, he asked, what is your go-to comic or comics to break people into the world of small press?
This is a really good question, I think.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, I really like this question.
Have you got an answer?
I have, yeah. I think I think it hugely depends on who the person you're talking to is, you know, and who asks you and, you know, what they're about and what they're into. But I think I always aim them towards something that isn't something if they would get in the mainstream comic.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of the recruitment into the small press comes. You know, I think that's why a company we'll speak about in a minute, why companies like No Brow and Avery Hill and Good Comics and these sort of companies do so well, because they are doing comics for people that is outside of what is in mainstream. Yeah. Just to recruit them. Once you've recruited them, once you got through the door, you can sell them any kind of drugs you like, can't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the old gateway drug.
Yeah, and I think something like maybe something like by Tilly Walden, for example.
Definitely, yeah, I would say
that. Depending on what they're into. Or Dawson Monsters, which we'll hear about in a bit. I think something like that. Yeah. You know, something. It's a bit different and a bit, but it's particularly well done. Mm. I think it's got to be good.
The presentation has to be there, doesn't it? It's got to be. As soon as they look at it, they're like, "This is quality." You can't deny, you know, the professionalism.
One of the others would say Porcelain.
Stole mine. I was working up to that, you bastard. Yeah.
They're like Avery Hill stuff, like The Rabbit by Rachel Smith.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah,
to get into. Yeah, Porcelain, like you said,
definitely. Porcelain is the book that I've given as a comic present more than I've given any other comic ever. I think it's just so well done. Yeah. You know, I think next month the third volume comes out, doesn't it?
That's fucking ace. Can't wait for that.
Can't wait to see that. Yeah. Yeah. So considering
it's the third volume, I've got a feeling it's going to be pretty tragic.
Yeah.
It doesn't really shy away from that in both episodes. So the third one, it'll be very interesting.
When we talk about it, we'll probably all be crying.
We will be. Yeah. I was about to. Funny enough, I texted Christian about it this morning. He was telling me about it. But loads of people were asking about it. You know, because I think he's got an ash can for it, isn't he, with the first two volumes.
Yeah.
The next one, because I think normally he releases it at Thought Bubble, but I think he might be releasing it at the Lakes, I think. A lot of people were asking about it at Thought Bubble, and it is a magnificent piece of work, just incredible. Yeah.
Nice.
Because the skills have taken another fucking jump up as well.
They have, yeah.
Not that they weren't fantastic in the first place.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah. Yeah, he was doing some good Batgirl business, I think, as well. You know, there's a lot of people getting sketches off him and stuff like that.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. Apart from the fact you almost burnt the hotel room down.
How'd you manage that?
Something over the microwave. All he's texted me with is says something like, "That was a proper Benny Hill moment. I'll tell you about it when I see you."
Do you know what I reckon it was? What? Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts.
Might have been Pop-Tarts, yeah.
He looks like the sort of fellow that would love a strawberry Pop-Tart.
In a microwave.
Pot noodle.
Hey?
You can't microwave a Pop-Tart, can you?
You can put anything in a microwave, Dan.
Yeah, and he could also burn down the fucking hotel.
I think he had to go and admit to the staff that he burnt down the hotel or something.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, the top floors are ablaze. That was me. So about that.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Anyway. Right.
That was a good question, actually. I really like that.
Yeah,
I think it's very much dependent on who it is, but I think it's got quality comes first, and maybe something they're not going to be getting elsewhere, I suppose, are the two ways I'd look at it. You know what I mean?
Or the Red Mask from Mars.
Give
them that. Shameless.
The now infamous Bingo Bonanza.
We still haven't seen that, Tony.
You'll never see it.
Oh.
Talk about thinking something was good when you did it, and now look back at it and thinking, "Oh, what the fuck was I doing there?" There's a prime example, my friend. Prime example.
Oh dear. Anyway, next question from Kev Brett, Kev_Brett on Twitter. What's the best way to make your comic stand out when submitting it for reviews?
I saw this one when they came in,
yeah.
And I was going to mention it when we did. They're talking about reviews earlier.
Yeah.
On, Tony. You've got the most experience under your belt with this one.
I think the best ones are the ones that send something that is a summary.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they've worked on that. You know, whoever the company is or the creator, they've worked on the summary. They've got it succinctly, you know, and punchily done. And you can cut and paste that and put that at the start of the piece you write. I quite commonly do that. I always put it in speech marks. So I hate people who just cut and paste it in and pretend they've fucking written it. So mine is always annoying. Mine is always in speech marks or quote marks. Send a couple of pages that you are happy about the reviewer sending. So it usually comes in like a zip file. And also all the contact details, because if fucking searching through Twitter and finding people and going to their websites, and you know, that's always a good thing. I think just nice ply email, couple of images on the email, here's a zip file with the promo piece and the images that you'll need.
One point I first sent out Vanguard Book One as a press pack, I included my contact details on like the sheet, and it had my mobile phone number in there. And I thought they'd be along the lines of like, you contact, if there's anything about the review you want to talk about, you can contact me. But they put that online, so I put the honest. Don't put my mobile phone number online. I don't need more people fucking ringing me up talking about sex in the toilet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Here's the thing, like, how important is the email that you write? I mean, obviously, there's the press release and all the information, you know, all the information you put in with that. But the general communication of the email, like, hi, you know, please check out my comic, blah blah blah.
So I think it should be relatively formal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would
as well. If you're sending, because there's a lot, say you're sending out 30, yeah, right? If I get an email that says, "Read our new comic, it's brilliant," you know, I'll go.
Yeah.
Oh, if I get one that says, "Hey Tony, how's it going? Read my new comic, it's brilliant," I'm more than likely to read that one.
Yeah.
So think about individualising your emails, I've got to tell you. Yeah.
An email that's sent out that I've attached a link says, here, blah, 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 blah. If you can do a review of it, this would be excellent.
And And as a particularly greedy reviewer, as you two guys probably are, if it says, "Would you like me to send the hard copy?" I would think, oh, yes, I would.
But like, we've had reviews when, say, like, they kind of email in and they're overly formal, is that, "I'll review this, you or something." And you're like,
and if that we have got to do a website called that. We've really got to do a website called
if that email comes in on the wrong day and you're not feeling it, you're like, you fucking
I
tell you one,
a little bit presumptuous, I suppose, aren't they?
Yes, like it's kind of an expectation of like, I know you're not getting paid for this, but you're going to fucking review this.
And the thing that gets me, and anyone listening to this show doesn't have to worry about this because you're listening to the show, but we've had many an email saying, "Oh, I'm a listener for, you know, I love the show," that is all they'll say, and then they'll go into the promo speech, and we do think, "Nah, you haven't listened."
Clearly, do you do reviews? I got one recently. I think I forwarded it to you, Dan, actually. It was like, "Do you do reviews? I really love the show." And I'm like, "Well, obviously you don't, because you don't listen to it, because you don't know how to do reviews." And then it's like, "Who should I send it to?" I said, "Why don't you send it to Dan?" And I got an email back saying, "Which one's Dan? Have you got his email?" And I think it's on the fucking website.
We say it every fucking week.
But
to all those people that do listen and send stuff in, we love it, and we love you.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you. I say one of the big factors that dictates where I'm going to recommend or read something, whatever, is if it kind of takes my interest in as much that I like that genre of comic. Definitely like stray towards kind of action, superhero, horror kind of stuff, as opposed to others, I guess.
Yeah,
we can afford to kind of just review stuff where we do recommends. So we recommend what we like, and if something comes in that's not really my cup of tea, I won't recommend it. That's not to say it's a bad comic. It's just, you know, I'm not going to the cinema to see fucking rom-coms. Nothing wrong with them. Yeah.
You're missing out, Dan.
Yeah. You can tell me, mate.
How to lose a guy in 10 days? It's genius. Oh dear. Anyway, let's have one last question. From James Gibbs. He's already had enough shout outs in this show, but at James Gibbs _ art, he said, "What is a plethora?"
He's such a knob. He done me completely, because just before the panel was about to start, I went, "What's the name of this panel again?" And immediately put a picture on saying, yeah, Tony can't remember the name of the panel. And he was sitting next to the German lady. I think, I don't know how they both got in early. I know that Gibbs were coming with me, so we got in early. And he went, and a German woman went, how do you not know the name of the panel? I said, I do know what it's about. I just can't remember the name of it. Title. She went, okay, like that. So he was giggling in the front row.
Yeah. Panel titles can be funny things, can't they?
Yeah. Bear in mind, this was something about history and comics, and one of them was about myths.
Yeah.
I thought, well, that's not history, is it? Anyway, but it was all right. Yeah, it worked out well in the end. Yeah.
Just being pedantic, Tony.
Yeah. A plethora is a lot of something, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
There you go. A plethora of comics.
We could have quite easily said it's like somewhere on the human body, couldn't we?
Yeah. Also known as the gooch.
Yeah. If you ain't found it by now, you'll never will. So thank you for the questions, folks. Always a pleasure. Never a chore.
Yeah, they were good questions as well.
Yeah, good ones.
So, one by Tom was very... That was great. A really good one.
Yeah.
I think it might be one we'll touch on again in the future, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. Do we have any shout-outs this week?
Yeah, I got one.
Go for it.
Spartown Comics, who are also responsible for Leamington Spa Comic Con. Very kindly are running a new they said, we send you some comics, can you give us a shout out? So that works well. Bribery always works for me.
Yeah, hell yeah.
They didn't actually, they said, oh, thanks a lot for the shout outs, here's some comics, but we're also doing this, if you know. So I said, oh, I'll mention that on the show. So it's a really good idea. They're doing something called Fantastic Four Service. Nothing to do with the Marvel characters, but what it is to do is it's to help people discover new books they haven't really discovered, and also to save a few quid. So each month they will pick out for you four first issues or good jumping on points in series for $12.95 and send them out to you. And so you can do like science fiction, fantasy, and they will pick out very recently in the last two sort of weeks releases and send them out to you. And then you can read them for a cut price, and you can say, oh, I quite like that one, I'll go with that one. Do you know what I mean? It's like that sort of thing. I think it's quite a good idea.
That's a good idea.
So if you go to spartowncomics.co.uk or find Spartown Comics on Facebook, I've shopped there, my son's shopped there. It's a they're a good bunch of people, really nice people. So go and discover that. And it's just a way of getting people reading stuff they like, getting new titles into hands that they might not have spotted, because there's so many comics that come out this weekly.
Yeah,
we all read about comics every day. We read websites, we listen to podcasts, we read comics every day. But there's comics that come out every week, and I think, I've never heard of that.
No.
You know, and I look, oh, it's on issue 4. You know, you think, oh, how have I never heard of that? It looks right on my street. If I'd have seen that at issue 1, I'd have jumped on it, you know. So it's a good little system there. There you go. Spartan Comics. Awesome.
Lovely.
My shout out is for an event at Orbital this Friday, Friday the 29th. Be pure, be vigilant, behave. The Pat Mills signing and talk starts at... 5 o'clock till 7, moderated by Jason Atomic.
Yeah.
Mentioned him previously in the show.
Yeah.
So it should be great. I mean, Pat's going to be signing the book, talking about everything to do with the book, really. I think it's going to be an absolutely fantastic event, and it's free. So go along, buy Pat's book, get him to sign it for you.
I think getting there early is probably going to be a good idea.
I think that is very wise.
It's going to be Pat, isn't it? Yeah.
We were debating over whether to talk about this tonight because we don't want it to be too packed. But yeah, that's going to be a fantastic event, and me and Tony will be there. So
come and say hi.
Don't let that put you off. Go.
Yeah. And if you can't get into that, then round the corner at Gosh, 2-minute walk away, there's the release event for Gesh Book 2, A Game Without Rules. By Alexis Deakin. It's an ABRAD book, which if you go to neveronanything.blogspot.co.uk, you'll see a full review of it. But it is, Vince and I have seen it, is fucking astounding.
Yes.
Nice.
Easily one of my books of the year. Just brilliant stuff.
I will say my shout-out for this week is to the guys at NoBrow. Who got in touch. And there must be something in the Kool-Aid, because I've been converted. The masses.
Well, I've been harping on about it, and when you actually see the physical book, you think, such a beautiful book, isn't it? Yeah. You know, all of this stuff.
I mean, being a sort of like a so-called designer, and like, you know, I'm all about like the finishes of books and the way things are laid out, and you know, the quality of it. That's why I can spend ages in a bookshop, just sometimes just looking at a book that I probably have no interest in, but you know, like nice novels and things, just the presentation of it. And yeah, seeing some of this Nobrow stuff is astounding. Like, just so thank you. They got in touch with me, and they've converted me to the cause. I checked out Dalston Monsters.
Oh my god! So big shout out to Emma Donovan. Emma's a friend of mine, and she sent you some books. As soon as you said to me, "Look what's arrived," I'm like, literally, I thought, right, wait half an hour. Have you read it yet, Vince? Have you read it yet, Vince? Because I'm so excited about it.
I'm gonna have to check this out because this sounds great.
We'll get one on Friday, mate. We'll see you on Friday.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Emma. So I'm. It's always strange, like when we get sent like books and things, but. It's
the nicest thing when you get home and you see, oh, I've got a little package there. What's that? And you open it. Brilliant. Yes. Out of the blue as well sometimes, you know?
Yeah. So, very lucky to check out the Nobrow stuff. And also, it is amazing. I haven't had the chance to read a lot of it. Obviously, I picked up Dalston Monsters because Tony talked about it last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And, that one was fantastic. Just absolutely.
Yeah, such a striking cover as well, isn't it? Really good.
Such a great cover, just all round, just from design, just everything really. Such a quality book, and I'm gonna finish off this shout out in a minute. But while we're talking about Dalston Monsters, Tony had a chance to talk to the creator,
the Reg man, bloke,
and we've got another little bit of audio for you.
So, don't be worried. It does sound like I get shot at during this interview. I think it's just somebody dropped something.
It is
the East End, but don't worry, I'm not actually shot at.
Yeah, but it is a quality interview with a creator that I'd love to chat to.
Definitely going places.
Quality stuff. So here you go.
Okay, I'm here with Dilraj Mann. Yeah, got that right. From who wrote and drew Dalston Monsters, which we talked about last week on the show, if this comes out next week, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I've just reminded you that we met, it's about a year and a half ago, probably, a year and three months ago, I suppose.
Yeah.
How did the connection between you and Nobrow begin? Because it's been quite a long year in formating.
It has, ages ago, when they first started LCAF, I think almost like on the second LCAF, they had like a portfolio view thing.
Okay.
And I think they kind of did it maybe for only the first two or three. I think they stopped doing it because it was just getting too busy and so on. Oh, although they do portfolio viewings, but it was slightly different back then. And I had got some work together to show them, and they didn't have time to see it.
Right, okay.
And so I spoke to Sam, I think it was somebody, and they kind of said, look, we're not going to be able to do it today. Can you pop in or meet us some other time? It was Alex, I think. And then I ended up meeting them somewhere in Shoreditch, showed them some work. I think they'd seen some of my work online and really liked it. And then I pitched a bunch of ideas, two of which they picked up on one and then changed their mind, which didn't surprise me.
Right, okay.
It didn't surprise me because, to be honest with you, the one I thought they'd go for Dalston Monsters.
Yeah.
And then when they didn't, I was surprised, but you know, it was still cool because I liked all three of the ideas.
Okay.
The other two ideas I'm hoping to still do at some point in time. Then we went from there, really. I continued working on the ideas and filling them in, but also I was doing other bits of work, illustration work, all sorts of other stuff. So I was kind of juggling it alongside, and that's probably why it took so long, because I was juggling it along with other pieces of work. So then eventually I knuckled down and finished it off.
Because we hear a lot about people who go to publishers with a book almost finished a lot of the time, or finished most of the time. But for you, it was almost, they sort of crafted you a bit. They brought you along a bit, did they, or...?
I mean, they were really, really patient.
Who was your editor?
It was Sam, ultimately.
Right, okay.
I mean, initially it was Alex, but then Alex moved to the New York office.
So Sam Arthurs, who's the owner, co-owner, isn't he?
Yeah. And so then I was interacting with Sam for the majority of the book. So Sam was editing it, and we just kind of had to change little bits and bobs, page count, all sorts of stuff kind of changed as it progressed.
Okay.
I think that what kind of happened was I really recognised that I needed to put in a concerted few months to really get it done.
Okay, so away from, take a break from the day job.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Just really focus on it. And it is, and I've done an MA before, so I kind of know the effort you need to put in to do a kind of long-termish project.
Yeah.
So I had to really just do that. Just kind of put everything aside, wake up in the morning, do it all day, do it all night. And
so treat it like a job,
Well, it's kind of, I mean, I was working until 4 a.m.
Right, okay.
That kind of thing, you know, really... really kind of pushing it,
yeah.
Which I hate to say I really enjoy.
No, it certainly shows, dude. If anyone looks at your Instagram, there's a lot of process. You put a lot of process work.
Yeah. I mean, which have been really popular on... I took over the No Brow Instagram last week.
Oh, okay.
Prior to the release. And they're getting thousands and thousands of views. So I think people in general like seeing... how things kind of develop, you know, because I think with some of them, Lolly had short hair to start with.
Okay.
She had long hair, then she had short hair.
For those who haven't read it, Lolly is the sort of snarky, slightly aggressive female character in it, who's the one with the monster, isn't she? Yeah.
And also cool and sexy.
Yes.
And lovely. She started off with long hair.
Right. Okay.
Long black hair.
Right.
Then I saw a girl with short hair, and I thought she looked amazing.
Right.
So I changed it to short hair.
Not stalky.
No, not stalky. No. I think I saw it online somewhere, and really thought it looked cool. And then I changed it back to long hair because, funnily enough, after having a chat with Sam about making the characters more distinctive. So it was to do with that.
Really. She certainly stands out. She's probably my standout character. Even away from the two sort of main male characters, are you getting a bit of that from the feedback at all? Or
I think I'm getting some of it, but not. I mean, I haven't had a great deal of feedback up until now, to be honest. But I think she kind of jumps off the page a bit, compared to the other two, who are fairly kind of ordinary guys. At the moment, they're ordinary guys. Yeah. We'll see.
Well, this is going to be a question of mine in a second. Is there another one coming, or?
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Good.
Yeah.
Because we can't give away the ending because there's an ending of a... Yeah, there's a tease, isn't there? Yeah. Almost.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. And it is a tease. So we'll see. We'll see if... Yeah, okay.
So why the East End? Did you grow up around here or is it... your formative years around here or...?
Yeah, I was brought up in Kent.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah. But I was in London all the time.
Right.
We were like 50 minutes away.
Yeah.
So I would come to London all the time to go to gigs and to clubs and to see girls and all sorts of stuff like that. Comic shops, Gosh, Forbidden Planet, I was always in those. Loved them. And then we were going out in Camden and stuff like that. And then I started going out with a girl who was living in Victoria Park.
Okay, which is,
years ago.
For those who don't know, is Bow Mile End Way, isn't it?
Yeah,
East End?
Yeah, that way. Not far from here.
Yeah.
And we're in Dogston at the moment, just so you know. And she kind of knew about Broadway Market and all of these spots.
Okay.
And so I found out really about the whole place. And then we moved here.
Right.
Not just down the road, really.
Oh, okay.
And loved it.
I suppose monsters appearing from behind buildings in Rochester isn't quite the same, is it?
Well, the thing is, though, I think Dalston, particularly when we moved here, if she came to Dalston, Kingsland, Dalston Junction and Kingsland are the two stations here.
Yeah.
And Dalston Junction's a new one. Dalston, Kingsland is the older one. And if she came in and I was picking her up to get home... there'll be prostitutes up and down the road.
Right, okay.
And it was still quite rough around the edges, you know. And then as we'd lived here for a bit, loads of development moved in and everywhere there were like cranes and high rises, studio flats being built everywhere.
Okay, yeah.
And I think as I wandered around and saw the change, it was like, okay, the ideas started kind of germinating and that's where it came from, really.
Yeah.
Just seeing
that first striking moment where the first monster you see is quite high up, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's where that came from, do you think? Or
pretty much. Yeah, the idea of kind of, it needed to be a kind of big moment.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why that, yeah, that happened, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Did you want to talk a little bit about your process? Because I know you do, do you do an awful lot on the tablet? Do you do any traditionally or?
I actually kind of move backwards and forwards.
Right, okay.
I have done some stuff that's totally digital, but I don't, texturally, I don't really enjoy or like it as much. And I really like, I tend to draw with pencils first and scan it in and then muck around with it.
Okay.
And muck around sometimes with composition or detail or anything like that.
And it's almost like you're thumbnailing it and then scanning, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so what I tend to do is by, with the thumbnails, I can work quicker on paper and pencil.
Yeah.
And so I do loads of them and then scan in the ones I like. And then tweak it maybe a bit or rotate or whatever. And then I work over those and then ink and ink on like Bristol board.
Okay.
Pencil and ink, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then scan those in and then
yeah.
I digital colour.
Okay. Yeah. So I suppose I've seen a lot of people mention online that if you fuck it up, it's okay when you do it that way, in a way, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, because I've still got the hard copy,
yeah.
That's where I have to really focus and
okay,
and
I
make
see.
Sure.
For the inking.
For the inking, yeah. Because I went to an interview with Woodrow Phoenix and Jaime Hernandez.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it was at that interview or if it was I talked to Woodrow afterwards. But he was telling me that, like, Jaime's ink, everyone was thinks his line's amazing and his you know, drawing's yeah. amazing and stuff. And he was saying, I was shocked when I saw him ink that he inks really slowly.
Okay.
And that's why he gets, like, a really kind of clean line and
does,
stuff.
Yeah.
And which, to me, was a bit of a revelation because I think I assumed that everyone inked quite quickly and it was all about... being quite artistic and kind of painterly almost, you know.
Okay.
And now I ink really slowly.
That's
what it's yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't ink really slowly, but I think I'm going for a certain thing.
Yeah.
And I'm almost going, although I like kind of Paul Pope's work.
Right.
I'm trying to do almost the opposite of what he does.
Yeah. Yeah, he sort of falls into that where we were going to go in a second. Actually, what I want to talk about now is his influences for you. There's a manga style to a certain extent, but I think if you read the review, right, Charles Burns maybe.
Yeah. Charles Burns is a funny one because his hair and the shine, some of the shading he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really get. And I'm influenced by kind of Burns and Daniel Klaus and stuff like that, and. Adrian Tomine.
Yeah.
And I came to him really late, actually. His artwork, I admire it, but it's not something that's really influenced me.
Okay. Yeah.
But his writing I found really great.
Yeah, he uses great use of pauses and stuff, doesn't he, in his writing? Yeah.
And kind of makes it really quite naturalistic. So when I first read it, I was a bit like... What's the deal?
No one got shot, we're fine. It's the East End, but we're fine.
Yeah. I think when I first... Cole, yeah, it's all right. I think when I first saw his, yeah, I thought it was really naturalistic and kind of... I didn't get the skill, but there is a real skill to what he does, you know.
Okay, and any manga artists you're fond of? Or?
Teo Matsumoto.
Right.
Those two in particular, there are loads of others that I'm kind of more recently picking up. Naruto, I've been reading and stuff.
Yeah,
a bunch of others, okay. But not. I mean, those two or three are the main ones for me, I think, that I've been really following.
Okay. So what is next? What's next to come out? Do you know or?
I don't know, really. I'm kind of working on it. I mean, I've been doing some stuff for Thought Bubble I haven't been able to do any prints for ages, and Gosh Comics stocks a lot of my prints.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to kind of do some for them, and I've got a few ideas about stuff I want to do as prints and as paintings.
Oh, wow, okay. All around the same subject, the same little area?
Yeah-ish. Yeah, okay. Yeah, figurative
right.
stuff.
Okay.
Yeah,
right,
figurative stuff, but... yeah, I want to try a few things for a bit. There are stories I really want to tell, so I definitely will be doing more of those.
Have you done a print of the cover at all? Because that is probably my standout cover of the year. Really good.
Okay. Have I done a what? Sorry.
A print of it.
No, I haven't. No. Oh, okay. Funnily enough, at the signing, they had a couple of printouts, like enlarged printouts, on the table, but I didn't grab one. Everyone else stole them. So afterwards, I was be like, oh yeah, I should have got one of those, but no, they're all gone.
So you're at Thought Bubble. What table are you at?
2A in the Victoria Hall.
Okay, yeah. Right, cool. And will you be doing a signing at the Nobrow table at all?
I'm going over to Nobrow early on Saturday and signing a bunch of their books for them. I think along with Hamish Steele. Yeah. So just so they've got them there. But I'm not sure if I'm doing anything.
Okay, I've not met Hamish yet, or because I'm doing a panel for them, Hamish and Luke Keeley as well, who I've met neither of them. Have you met them yet? Or
No.
No,
right, okay. Although I'd really like to. Is Alexis Deacon there too? I don't know if he is or not.
I don't know, actually, hopefully.
Because we're going to be going out for like a Nobrow meal.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
So it'll be nice to hang out with those guys.
Yeah, good, yeah. You know? Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah.
And so where else can we find you online, or where can we buy your books, etc., stuff like that?
Okay, my books are everywhere.
Good.
Yeah. Now, and I've got a big cartel.
Okay.
Which I'll be putting more prints and original work up.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
And I've got to put a lot of it up. And I've got a Tumblr and Twitter, DilRaj_man. And I've got an Instagram, DilRajMan Instagram. That's the hip hop influence coming through. And that's pretty much it, I think. Yeah.
Excellent work, mate. If anyone can find it, then please pick it up. It's astoundingly good. One of my favourite books. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
There you go. There's another reason to pick up the book, if nothing else. I mean, never mind the nonsense that we say on a weekly basis. When you hear the creator talk about it, I think that sells itself, doesn't it, really?
Mm. Yeah, I can't remember if he mentioned it in that interview or not, but he also drew the design that is the Thought Bubble T-shirts this year. The ones that all the red shirts are wearing. There's a sort of design of people in a line.
Yeah.
That stuff he drew. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Nice. Awesome. So, Tony said it over and over, but I'm going to say it now. I'm going to echo that statement. Check out Nobrow's work.
Pretty much anything by them.
Yeah. Ever since we started this show, my eyes have been open to the publishers of Avery Hill, Cine Book, now Nobrow. It's just fantastic. That's what
it's too much and not enough money, isn't there? Yeah. I think that's the win.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Well, when I had the delivery of books, and Joe looked at me like, what the hell have you been buying?
Oh, shit. Get them all sent to work, that's what I do.
Does your wife listen to this show, Dan?
Nope. I would not be saying those words if she did. There's a healthy relationship right there. Sneaking comics home.
Oh dear!
In the back of your trousers.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're all right. You're walking funny. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
Just going to go upstairs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we got a couple of.
I cut cover.
We got another couple of quick books to talk about in a second.
Yeah.
But now for just a quick aside, for a new segment we're thinking about starting called. Shall I sing it? No, I'm not going to sing it.
You love a bit of singing.
I do. never in public. No, Dirty Paper Corner, which is the
word.
Yes, make of that what you will. But how would we describe this new segment that is going to pop in from time to time?
This is where we talk about really terrible examples of the medium.
Yeah, fair enough.
Now, we are, most of the time, we're all about the love on this show, and certainly the quality is out there, but occasionally things slip through the cracks. And if anything
and
slips through the cracks,
theory earlier that not enough bad review or critical reviews are given.
Yeah,
I'm actually struggling to find something good about this, but yeah. Okay,
it's got a poster in the middle.
Yeah, good shout. Well done. Completely in the wrong place, though, isn't it?
I love the fact that you're immediately going for the Paul quote.
Yeah, it's got a poster in the middle.
It's got a poster in the middle.
So what did you want to... Tony Esmond's got one this week. So what did you want to talk about, Tony?
Let me tell you a story. So I was in I was in the hotel bar at Thought Bubble on Friday night. I might have been a little bit drunk and shouting. For some reason, myself and Matt Harrow were shouting Ryan out very loudly because we thought it was funny. can't remember why. Like this, Ryan, like that. We're shouting it non-stop. And anyway, so Sarah Harris and a couple of other people came in, and I think they'd been across the road at the 2000 AD party, which we weren't cool enough to go to. And Sarah said to me, oh, I've got you a present. It's a book I picked up. I can't remember what's the convention she went to, Vince, you know?
Rose City Comic Con.
Rose City, Portland, I think it was, yeah. Yeah, I think she bought me a comic there. She said, this is right up your street. It is quite possibly the worst example of a comic I've read in quite a long time. And it is called Intergalactic She-Devils. Why she thought I'd like that, I don't know. There you go.
Who knows?
Yeah. It's so issue one, let's hope issue two never ever saw the light of day. It's A5, so it looks like photocopy paper, like turn, you know, folded in half. And they've managed to actually staple it, so the staples are actually halfway into the picture. You know what I mean? So they're not on the spine.
Yeah.
Obviously, his stapler only reached so far, so he stapled it in the wrong place. I'm going to say it's actually quite hard to figure out what happens in it. I'm not really actually sure. The only thing I will say about it is probably the only intergalactic thing about it is the fact they've got weird eyes. And I kind of think probably it's because the bloke can't draw eyes. Yeah. It seems to be mostly about helicopters. And mostly just sort of side views of helicopters. It's like what? Sort of the kidding. Do you know what I mean?
But what's the title again?
Intergalactic She-Devils.
What's that got to do with helicopters?
No, I'm not sure. I think the helicopters are chasing the Intergalactic She-Devils.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, and there's okay. Sort of an awful lot of side views of helicopters. So he's really good at drawing a side view of a sort of combat military helicopter, you know? Mm. I think I might read you a page. Shall I just read you a random page?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. So in this page is three pictures of people's heads wearing those sort of helicopter helmets, you know, with the microphones and the sort of shades that pull down, yeah. You know, like Blue Thunder type style. And it goes, hey, they obviously have never ever looked at a comic and know what a word balloon looks like, by the way. So it's sort of, hey, and it looks like there's a sort of hairy balloon around it. And hair, what? Who dat? Will you? Where that come from? Is that from them? Fuck off.
That is pretty much... That's how we talk to each other during a convention.
Yeah.
And then the next page says... Next page is another shot of sideways helicopters. It says, already, Roger, what the bejesus is going on? Which is sort of echoed what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And then on the screen in the helicopter, which you can just about work out, it's a screen. I'm not sure if it's a screen or the back of a shoe. Could be either, really. It says, fuck off, twice on the screen. I got order here. Everything's functioning again. That's one of the things. I got order here. I don't really know what it means. Anyway, these two sort of girls, they appear momentarily. And in the middle, like you say, let's find something good about all comics. This does have a fold-out poster in the middle, Intergalactic She-Devils. But unfortunately, they've stapled it into the book, and it's sort of the middle pages are also a double page splash, which you can't read because they've stapled the poster into there. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I sent you a little sexy video of it earlier.
Yeah.
Surprisingly to me, actually, it's not sort of, when I heard the name, I thought this is going to be like, you know, tits and cocks and stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's not. There's no real sort of nudity in it, apart from the sort of some slightly frayed stockings on legs that look like people's thumbs, and quite a lot of underboob. This bloke, whoever's drawn it, his name is Randy L. Valancourt. Randy, obviously, like his name describes him, likes a bit of underboob. So there's a bit of underboob going on. I don't really know. I've read it now three times. I've just read it again while I'm talking to you. That's how quickly I can read it. At one point, he's written, "We're the only survivors left. Send backup ASAP!" ! And then he's put a little asterisk, and he said, and the asterisk returns to the bottom of the panel, which says, "As soon as possible." So he thinks it's important that he tells people what ASAP means.
Yeah. It's weird, when you've spoken about this comic, I feel like I know less about it now than after you've explained it to me. Because I was going to suggest, is it like the English not his first language? But
I don't think
unless
so.
That's a pen name, I'm kind of just bewildering that text. I don't understand it whatsoever.
It's got his email address in here. Don't write to rlvaill@yahoo.com. Never write to that person. Ask him what it's about. But I suppose it was only $2. What's $2? £1.25 or something? I don't really know. Something like that. So it's not... It's not a huge.
Was it on sort of print paper?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It looks like it's a sort of photocopied thing.
For that price, you can't really grum too much, can you?
No, I
not banging that for $5.
I mean, and it was a present to me, you know, yeah. Very kindly. I suspect that either Sarah had never read it, or she bought it knowing that it would wind me up so much. I would do this sort of thing. Yeah,
hopefully the second option. Otherwise, he'd just spent 5 minutes insulting a gift.
Yeah. At one point, there's a cloud, and it's sort of there's fire. I don't know, it's fire or it's raining or something in this cloud, and it just says, "Those goddamn bitches."
That's my favourite bit of the review. Oh, God.
And so I'll be putting a picture of this on the site for the morning. That's all right, isn't
it? Yeah.
There you go. So that's the end of what we're calling it again, Vince. Dirty Paper Corner.
Dirty Paper Corner.
There we go.
I'll move on about swearing. It's your guys for the ACP comic got a large amount of swearing in.
Yes.
Oh, good.
My one's got a decent amount of swearing, but I know you, Dan, you're going off the chain, aren't you?
Yeah, there's a lot of swearing. But
you see mine, I've gone C-bomb on mine.
Yeah,
so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I don't think I've used the C-bomb on mine. I've used it earlier in the show, and I got reprimanded by Vince. I'd quite happily have all the swearing beat down, because I think it's hilarious.
Maybe you could do that with your comic, though. You could blank out the swearing for like the anthology.
Yeah,
that'd be quite funny.
Although there'd
be no dialogue, probably.
Yeah, it's most sentences have got swearing.
Well, mine sort of fitted into sort of sound effects in the background.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, I think some of them format into like a panel layout. So it's difficult to sort of censor that, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well, never mind.
Or if Tony's not censoring his, I'm not censoring mine.
Yeah, fuck you, Vince.
I didn't ask.
The man trying to put us down again.
Put you down, I'll cut you out of a whole bloody show.
I'll just cut you.
Oh dear. Anyway, let's do a couple of quick recommendations.
A beautiful recommends.
One. Yeah. So Dan, you go first.
This is another gift from Sarah Harrison. It's absolutely fantastic. She gave us at London Super Comic Con, Sex Castle by Carl Stuff.
Yes.
It's absolutely fantastic. Loved it. The blurb on the back is the world's greatest assassin leaves the world of killing behind, moving to a small town, only to be pulled back in an exciting action romp in the style of the classic 80s action film. So obviously this is like the comic made for me. It's brilliant. It's a sequence where Kyle Sex Castle was just an absolute badass 80s character personified, walking around with like one-liners and stuff, and this has got a heavy dose of humor throughout. That there's a league of assassins that are after him, and essentially they're kind of like the 80s greatest hits with like a Rambo character, Arnie, Steven Seagal, Van Damme. It's really, if you like 80s action films, you'll love this book. It's great. And it's a typical sort of setup. He goes back to a town and it's run by a load of a crook, and they're sort of getting extortion money out of all the shop owners. Yeah. There's a great bit where Sex Castle goes up and sort of threatens the boss and his thugs, saying, "Look, don't let me see you around the shop, so I'm going to fuck you up big time." And one of them says, "Well, the cookie shop on the corner, I own that. So if you see me in there, don't start trouble. Is that all right?" There's great little touches like that really make it. I really recommend this book. And we've been in talks with Carl to try and get him on the show. And I hope he accepts, because that'd be fantastic. Yeah. A whole show about 80s action films and comics. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
So really recommend that book from Image.
Yeah. I remember Rob Jones back in the day. He was one of the first ones that brought it to our attention, but we just never got around to it. And then I think it's perfect that it fell into your hands, Dan.
Yeah. And I couldn't get all the comics we get recommended. I'd be broke.
I know. God, Jesus Christ, yeah. I know Kyle as well. He has a new book coming out very soon that I really want to read, called Kill 'Em All. Have you seen this?
No.
It's basically about an ex-cop and an assassin, and I think there's like a tower block, and they've literally got to work their way up the tower block, killing all the bad guys until they get to the big boss at the top. It just sounds like this is going to be amazing. So yes, you may hear more from Kyle in the future. I'll say no more than that, apart from I'll do a thumbs up, but no one will see it.
Nice. Yeah. You love a thumbs up, mate.
Yeah. Watch your mouth.
Jesus.
Don't, or I'll censor you, Dan. Calm yourself.
Yeah, don't, or I'll send the intergalactic she-devils around to your house.
I'll say, was it fucking bitches?
Those fucking bitches.
He's got them bitches.
Those goddamn bitches. Oh, dear. Anyway,
I've got to use that this week for someone late with some work. Yeah. Oh, those goddamn bitches.
It's just saying, we're just saying, like, fuck off constantly.
Yeah. Who dat? Fuck off.
Oh, dear. Anyway, my second recommendation for the week is issue 4 of a series I raved about a couple of months ago called Baby Teeth.
Oh, yeah.
From Aftershock Comics. This is by Donny Cates, Gary Brown, Mark Engler, and Taylor Esposito.
And this exclusive Donny Cates. Donny Cates, isn't it? Cates or Coates?
Cates.
Cates, right.
Yeah. Is he Marvel exclusive now?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I tell you what, that boy can write.
He's doing some Thanos and some Doctor Strange, I think. Yeah.
And reading this, his style will be perfect for that kind of series. It's
super nice guy. I met him at New York last year. Really nice guy.
Oh, really? Yeah. He knows his stuff. But, I mean, for those who don't know or missed a show, Baby Teeth is basically about a girl who has given birth to essentially the Antichrist and all of the stuff that comes with it. Now, it's more of a... It's a real character action horror kind of piece, really. It's definitely the emphasis is on this 16-year-old girl who's just, by issue 4, she's now discovered that her kid isn't like normal babies, and instead of milk, it needs blood. So so then there's that issue, and it starts off, and she's filling up the milk bottles, and her father comes home and witnesses it. And then a lot of issue 4 is very much a father-daughter conversation, and which is made even more difficult because he's just seen his daughter putting blood into milk bottles and stuff. And then you add to that and a sort of assassin that's been sent to get the baby and kill everyone else. And then there's a mystery of the main girl's sister who's trying to... She was after the father of the child who... I'm not going to spoil it, but it hasn't turned out too well for him. Let's just put it that way. It's pretty gruesome. So there's several different mysteries going on. What I love about this is it's telling it in a past tense, but it's never losing me. I'm never thinking, oh, this is going on. When are we going to be in the present day? The story's just play, and it's full of twists and turns. It always seems to go, you know, an action scene will happen and I think, oh, this is going to be the moment this character dies or, you know, this character finds out something. But then it just twists at the last moment. It's like, oh, and it's like brilliant television, this series. And I seriously cannot get enough. There's a sort of action scene that completely took a turn for the badass in issue 4 that I was like, you know, pumping my fist and that sort of like, yes! Yes, this is awesome. This is just awesome comics. Baby Teeth is probably with every issue, it's getting higher and higher in my comics of the year sort of series.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it's just a really good professional sort of series that I'm hoping. And every issue ends on a nice sort of cliffhanger as well. And I can tell it's good because I've looked through it and there's plenty of dialogue, there's plenty of action, there's plenty of story. But when I was reading it, I seemingly obliterated it. You know, it was over before I knew it because I was so into it. Have you ever had that? You finish reading a comic and you think, hang on, was there not much to that comic? Because I've just finished it really quickly. And then you look back at it and think, oh no, this is quite a substantial comic. Yeah, which must be a sign of something great. So, yeah, seriously, start Baby Teeth from issue 1 and you won't regret it. Just from a design perspective as well, the covers are all just absolutely awesome. So find them on Comixology in your local comic store whenever they come out, because Aftershock put out some pretty decent stuff as well, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. I need to catch up on a lot of this stuff. I think I read a couple, but
I think they've got some Cullen Bunn books. I think they're doing.
Oh, they have. They've got like a medieval one, haven't they? I read the first issue of it. Yeah. I can't remember it now. Yeah.
And in the back of these issues, they do have like previews of like books like that, and usually like, you know, script pages and things like that, so you can see the makings of like how this certain scene played out when they were making the comic, which is a nice touch. I like that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So definitely, that's a re-recommendation, that one. And cool. I wouldn't be surprised if it turns up again before the year is out.
Is it a miniseries or is it an ongoing? Or
I think it's a miniseries. It feels like it should be a miniseries.
Yeah, it does. Sounds like one, doesn't it?
Yeah. But it also has the potential. The way the story is playing out, it feels like it has the potential to be a longer form story.
Right.
Because she's mentioned, like, the narrator is the girl. She's sort of, you know, she's making a video for her child. And she's mentioned certain things that haven't happened yet.
Okay.
So there, and it seems like a new thing. She mentions a new thing almost in every issue that you haven't gotten to yet. And you're thinking, oh, I'm looking forward to that. What does that mean? You know? So it's good, just good comics. Yeah, can't recommend it enough. So,
awesome.
Tony, you've got one, haven't you? Well, we done it.
No, my one was the crap one.
is that your recommendation for this week?
Well, it was kind of a recommendation, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's more like a health warning, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
So there you go, folks. Plenty of comic talk this week to get your week going. If you're, I don't know, recovering, that's from Thought Bubble, whether you're a visitor.
Yeah, there'll be a bit of that tomorrow, won't we? We'll see a bit of, I'm so tired, I've got con crud. We'll see that, won't we?
Yeah, I've got con crud, or I've got the con blues, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you suffer from con blues, you know, those moments when you've had a fantastic weekend at a convention, and then you're back to the normal 9 to 5, and everything just seems grey, worthless, devoid of life, then you can email us awesomecomicspod @gmail.com.
That's the best one you've ever done.
Yeah, it's quality. It's fucking top hole. Good stuff.
If you want to get in touch with us about any events or anything that we may have skipped over, there's I know Thought Bob was a big one, but there's loads going on. So let us know. tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Those two addresses are the Awesome Pod official email addresses. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod, where we'll be announcing the guests, asking for more questions, maybe a listener poll. You never know. Now that these two have the keys to the car.
I tried to get the old interaction up a bit more this week.
Dan, you've been a beast. You've been a beast, and I know you have, because I'm useless.
And I'm still going to say, bear with us if you sent a review. I've got one for next week that is from a favourite of ours from, I think, 2 years ago, an American comic that was a particular favourite of ours, and I've got one to talk about next week. Which
that's the fucking nuts. Yeah.
So you know who you are, guys. That's coming. So calm down.
Thank you for your patience, folks. I mean, we can't get to everything. And I know I haven't been able to read as much this week because I had a mental working week on that street corner. But bear with us, and also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, and join the Awesome Comics Talk group on Facebook, which is always good, always cracking. There's a new post all over the shop, isn't there, really?
We did have to reiterate the rule about the Kickstarter thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not we've got a problem with Kickstarters at all. It's just the fact that if we don't want to be one of those groups that's just all about self-promotion and then that's all it is. I mean, there's 101 pages like that. We want to talk about the comics and the process and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I noticed that whenever we go a bit lax on that and we just sort of let all the Kickstarter ones, we get loads of posts. It swamps the actual posts where people are looking to interact. And they don't get many comments. So
there's no interaction on them.
If you want to know about it, I'll tell you what, I think you probably get more publicity or more help with your Kickstarter if you come on and ask stuff than you will just by posting one. Oh, bloody hell, not another one. You know, it's a bit like that, I think.
Yeah. And we're fully open to, I mean, obviously, everyone wants to get their name out about different events and comics and stuff. And we've had some great posts that are, you know, that are obviously informing people about different events, but they're getting a discussion going because that's why we started it. So thank you to everyone that posts and sticks to the rules or is just generally nice when they post. So yeah, there's lots of different things go up there about like panels, you know, requests for panel questions, or you know, someone playing a musical gig.
You just heard about that one because you just talked about it, didn't he? I thought it was a great idea, and he was thinking, "Oh yeah, I'm going to play some comic shops. Has anyone got a local comic shop? What do you think of the idea?" Yeah, it's a great idea. Yeah,
yeah. So Awesome Comics Talk on Facebook. The group is growing like a cult.
Yeah, we literally twice daily get proper spammy people trying to get into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we always have to ask each other, "Is this a real person?"
Yeah, sometimes it's fucking difficult.
Yeah,
yeah, it is. Yeah,
yeah. You should see our Gmail account. Some of the emails I get there.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you about them off air. But to all you lovely people out there, thank you for listening to the show. And whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com, if it was on iTunes, on Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, Pod anything. Just if you listen to us on a network, thank you, thank you, thank you. We really, really appreciate it. We're doing this show for you guys and just for our own entertainment.
Yeah.
So.
And don't forget, we've got items to sell.
Yeah, we do indeed.
We are currently funding our anthology. We decided not to do a Kickstarter because that's quite annoying. We decided that we're going to sell some prints and some T-shirts, and I walked around like a hobo with a rucksack on at the weekend and was stopped by people who bought T-shirts from me. Yeah. So thank you to everyone who bought stuff and put their hand in their pocket and helped us. And let's be fair, we do a free service every week. We review your books. You know, it's nice. I really like it when someone buys it. It's nice to giving back, isn't it?
Yeah.
We are sorting out a way where we can send you the prints out. That's been sorted this week.
Yeah.
But if you are at Nottingham in a couple of weeks, nottinghamcomiccon.co.uk, then pop over and see us, and we'll have all our stuff there to sell as well.
Yeah. If you can't make it to that one, I do have the packing materials now, sort of the postal rates. So send us a DM on the Awesome Pod Twitter.
Yes.
And we'll have a private chat, and I'll sort you out.
How much are the big prints? I can't remember now.
Five of your earthen pounds.
Fucking fiver. That's good, isn't it?
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, compared to the prints I saw at Thought Bubble, that's good value. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's the best very value, good. Which is what this show is every week.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I need to sleep.
You'll be under the weather as well, Vince.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't got the cotton crud, have you? You didn't go.
I know. Yeah. I think I've got it.
Got the cum crud.
Right. Daniel Butcher.
Oh my god.
Somehow.
You said you were on the
some way. You shut your mouth. This is my turn to talk. Somehow.
I think you'll find that he is medically trained. He's a first aider. He's told us that already.
Somehow, some way. I will get you back, Dan. It may not be next week. It may not be for a month. For a year.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
Don't forget, I always keep the outtakes.
Right. We need an outtake show one day. Oh, just God. Outtakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll get us banned. Now, thank you for listening, folks. Where can people find us online, etc.? Tony?
Ezo, yes, E-Z-O-H-Y-Z. Go to neverironanything.blogspot.co.uk for some stuff that's going up in the next couple of days. And if you go to the mailer, pay attention to my Twitter. Tomorrow I'll be sticking... Oh, sorry, Wednesday I'll be sticking the mailer out again. We've been putting some cracking stuff out. And Nick Prolix, who I'm doing a strip with, doing Cockney Kung Fu with at the moment, is putting some great art out. Apart from this week when he got the grumps because he wasn't going to Thought Bubble, and he just put Gone Fishing Up. He drew like a sign. That would make me giggle. Please sign up for the mailer. It's good stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. Dan, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at VanguardComic.com.
I'm still trying not to laugh at the cum crud.
It's a factual scientific thing.
It is. You can find me online on Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmaskfrommars.com. And thank you, folks. It's been emotional, as always.
Yeah, it's been a good one. Yeah.
And we've got some exciting shows lined up for you over the next few weeks.
I think all the way through the week, me and Tony asked Vince about half a dozen times, so what are we doing this Sunday? Here we go. I'm sure he gets pretty sick of that.
No, yeah, no. Let's do it more this week. Because I always, yeah, have to double check myself. So,
brilliant.
So we've all got something to look forward to next week, folks. Who knows what it will be? We certainly
could
don't.
Could be anything.
Yeah, yeah. It could be anything. Yeah. But mark my words, there will be a show next week. Oh, yeah.
No.
So until then, read loads of comics. Just stay healthy. Stay safe. Be kind to each other. And as always, stay awesome. See ya.
See ya. Yeah.
You're dead.
That just popped up.
Oh,
I'm googling it.